is the Don and Mike Show. Want to participate in a Don and Mike Show contest? How about this? You or a member of your household can only win once for 60 days. You must comply with any age limitations for each contest. For complete contest rules, send a self-addressed stamped envelope to the mighty WJFK, P.O. Box 3649, Washington, D.C. 20007. Thank you, and God bless.
Everybody loves Don and Mike.
Uh-huh. This will be a good, funny show today.
There you go. Hi, Buzz.
Hi, we're ready.
This I promise you. Like, every day it's not, but today...
Good today?
Yeah.
Good like you're excited about today's
like
show.
Like you don't know.
Rightly so.
Yes. Lots of Larry today. Lots of new Larry. And
we love Larry King.
We're going to take Larry in a much different direction than we ever had.
Really?
Good. On today's show. Lots of stuff to get to today. Hope you had a good, safe weekend. Sadly, we have no groaners, but we do have the prepared DJ jokes.
Well, that's just wonderful.
Hello, Star Spangled, good-looking Monday to you. I'm Sergeant Michael Scott Shannon.
And I'm Major Milburn Drysdale, president of the Commerce Bank and Loan of Beverly Hills.
Nikki Hilton's Las Vegas wedding cost $230. Rings, $30. Being known as an airhead slut like your big sister, priceless. Hello.
Hi there.
It's not a groaner.
I'm Scott Shannon.
And I'm Milburn Drysdale.
Oh, and I didn't tell you. You know, I have conversations with the real Scott Shannon. Occasionally.
It's a miracle that those still occur.
Yes. Oh, he doesn't care. Mm-hmm. And one of the things, I get involved with these conversations with my disc jockey buddies that I knew, BM, before Mike generally.
Right.
These were guys that I was working my way up the ladder and helped me, and I talked about them for a long time. A group of guys, every once in a while, we'll get together, and even though these guys are doing like crazy morning zoo shows,
right.
You know, we throw ideas back and forth,
sure.
And sometimes it's a good way to get an idea for this show, mm-hmm. And I like talking radio with these guys. this thing, now this will get him mad. In our little roundtable discussion last week,
mm-hmm.
Part of which I told you about,
right.
For not on air, they're saying, so what do you got going on? Like, there's a guy in Boston, a guy in Tampa,
right.
A friend of mine in Houston, and, you know, the guy in New York, and me, and they're going around and telling whatever bits they've got. And Shannon says, this is totally New York, but listen to how in touch we are with what's happening on the street.
Mm-hmm.
You heard about Mike Wallace? Okay, what we did was we said on the air, one PLJ listener will be picked up by the same town car service, taken to the same deli on the Upper West Side to enjoy meatloaf and potatoes with Mike Wallace. Guess what the gag is? It's Mike Wallace, all right. It's Mike Wallace from, you know, butt scratching Long Island.
Yeah, like the oldest gag in the book.
Yeah, so.
Like and he's all proud of himself.
Sure. Yeah, oh yeah. There you go. That's one of the win column for Super Shad.
Absolutely.
One of the win column. Unfortunately, those of us in the other markets, we couldn't do that because that was in New York City.
So totally we would if we could, but. Mm-hmm.
Hello. Hello, this is Scott Shannon.
And I'm Milburn Drysdale.
Rodney King is trying to become a rap star and is currently working on a CD. Word up. That all of Rodney's songs have a really good beat.
Oh.
Okay.
And there's so many other ways you could have gone.
Let's just end it.
Yes.
Hey now.
The Don and Mike Show.
You can call Don and Mike anytime from anywhere in America. 877-365-3636. They're ready to believe you.
Right, we are, and...
Hello.
Here she is.
From a true story, he was a neo-Nazi with one true enemy. Himself. A man of faith, a man of hate, and a soul torn apart. Viewer discretion advised.
And good afternoon, Mr. and Mrs. Pettengill, and all the ships at sea. Get ready for some hot and fat radio.
Yeah.
Here's Don Geronimo and Mike O'Mara.
Okay, thank you. Thank you, Rob.
Hello.
Hello. Hi, everybody, all of you. Don and Mike Show, new episode on this Monday. 08-2304.
Hi, Don and Mike. Buzz Burbank here.
Thank you. Hi, Buzz. And thank you for listening, everybody. Don and Mike Show, new episode Monday. It's August 23rd, 2004.
Right out of the chute, I have to say something.
Yep.
I want to make an announcement. I might not be able to have days like this. I am not ready to pay that bet off yet.
Wow. Listen, I need some time. I just want to say this. I need some time. I've got it in my notes right here.
Right.
Mike, Sox coming on strong.
Yes.
Those two games may be your downfall.
Mm-hmm.
I agree. We should talk about that.
Yes.
But I must talk about my personal life.
I know you must. I wanted to just get it out of the way really quick. If we talk about it later, all well and good. It was a delightful baseball weekend.
I'm glad that somebody was happy this weekend.
I was very pleased, and you would have, if I'd had a videotape on me at last night's game,
yeah. Well,
you would have,
it's August 23rd. There's a month left. They could make the comeback of the century.
It would be the comeback of the decade.
My money's mm-hmm. still on Tom Gavin, and my money is still against the U.S. Olympic team. But anyway.
And you're looking good in that bet.
To call us from anywhere in America, 877-365-3636. From Canada, Mexico North, 800-636-1067. And from D.C., call 202-432-1067 on WJFK.
All right.
Thanks, Mike, for giving me just a moment here.
No problem.
Just get a little music going.
I understand.
I just want to tell you all how I got blindsided this weekend.
Yes.
Morning. Yeah.
Oh, that's your happy weekend music.
Well, you see, I'm generally a happy man. I've got the world on a string.
Love is like candy on a shelf.
Yes, help yourself.
You want to taste and help yourself.
Part of that, of course, is
the sweetest things are there for you.
My family.
Help yourself.
Of course.
Take a
few. That's the most important
That's
part.
What I want you to do.
And they're the ones that really got me this weekend.
We're always told repeatedly.
Yeah. Yeah, turn that off. Turn it off. The music won't help this. I don't know.
Had a weekend, did you?
Here's all I know. Everything's fine now, and I think that these things happen in marriages all the time. Maybe not to this degree, and maybe I'm overreacting. Here is the situation as I believe it to be. Friday, my wife went to Ocean City, and I was going to join her there over the weekend.
Mm-hmm.
She was going to go on Friday to get a jump on the traffic. She had asked me earlier in the week if I wanted to go, and I was kind of wishy-washy. You know, my fault. I said, no, I really don't want to go. Then she said, well, we should go. And I said, well, all right, let's go. So anyway, she went up on Friday. I went home Friday night. I watched the Ravens game in high def. I saw Terrell Owens catch the touchdown pass.
Right.
And I got up on Saturday morning. It was pouring rain. And Ocean City's about 3 hours from D.C., and I called and I said, yeah, you know, I don't want to go up there. I said, it's raining, and it's a three-hour drive, and I just made the drive to Clemson weekend to take Bart down there. I was in the car all weekend. I don't want to join you.
Understandable. It's kind of a long drive.
I don't want to go to the beach. You know, just come, turn around, come back. Anyway, she got royally pissed and hung up on me. Then there was a couple of the hang-up back-and-forth calls, and then there was about 30 minutes where I guess we were both just stewing. And then about 9:15, the phone rings. I go, hello? And she says, I go, hello?
Mm-hmm.
And she says,
hey.
She says, hi, listen, I didn't want you to worry. I've decided I'm not going to leave you.
Oh!
Now, I'm assuming she's not saying this as a joke.
Well, you certainly could. You heard her, and you heard her tone.
Right. I said, well, that's good to hear.
Mm-hmm.
Because it's
better than the alternative. I've been on the receiving end of a slightly different phone call.
I was unaware that there was even a discussion that I might be let go from this from this position that I've held for 23 years. And she said, basically, here are her issues. I'm a recluse. I don't like socializing a lot with other people.
Right.
I'm happy just at home. I'm happy with her. I'm not really helpful around the house. I'm a real good guy. I'm a great husband. I'm a great father, according to my wife. Great husband, great father, and she really loves me. And I'm just not idyllic. And that was the word she kept using. If you were idyllic,
You mean idyllic?
Idyllic, yes. Saying if I was the ideal, if I was the ideal man, that it would be me.
Well, is there, I mean, in all fairness, is there any...
Does one exist?
...husband that is idyllic? I don't believe so. Yes, Rob, I know you.
Apparently,
yes.
Yeah, right. Apparently, if I just would try a little harder, we wouldn't have these problems. So we argued for a good long time on Saturday, and then yesterday, Sunday, she came back home, and, you know, we argued some more, and I said to her, you know, here's the thing. I feel like I'm kicked in the nuts. It's one thing to fight, and we fight like all couples do, but I don't like to hear just out of the blue, oh, incidentally, I've decided, you know, I'm not going to leave you. And she said, well, I didn't mean
it. It's a very interesting psychological statement.
She said, well, I didn't want you to worry. Because, see, in the conversation prior to that...
Well, see, and I would say by hearing that, quite the opposite is true. By making that statement, that would cause you to worry. And if she's saying she said that, so she didn't want you to worry. She did want you to worry. That's why, in case it wasn't in your mind.
Well, like, it wouldn't be in my mind, because I said in the previous two calls, all of this because I had screwed up the thing to go to the beach this weekend. I had to hear the whole thing again about, you know, just the way I am. You'd rather sit in your room and watch football. You don't like going out with people. When you do go out with people with me, you treat it like you're doing a personal appearance.
Right.
And, you know, all of those facts are... sadly, are very true. But the one thing I got going in my favor is that that's one of the few things in our relationship that's been constant from the time she knew me before we were married. That she knew that I wasn't going to, you know, say, come home from work and say, darling, I feel like throwing on a sport coat, going out, having some cocktails, dancing, and then perhaps later, you know, doing whatever it is, you know, looking at a map of the world while sipping a cappuccino at 2 a.m. You know, screw that. Here's my deal. I'm in bed at 10 o'clock at night. I watch the 10 o'clock news or Law and Order or CSI, and I go to bed.
Right.
I wake up at 6:10 every freaking morning.
Well, somebody's got to prepare this show.
That has nothing to do with it.
It has something to do with it for me. I'm glad you're in bed by 10 o'clock.
It's just the way that I do things.
I mean, seriously, if both of us were coming in when the roosters were crowing, it would be a bad thing.
So the woman just freaking... blindsided me with this, and then yesterday,
nothing like saying, incidentally, for the, you know, those of my friends that are in the lifestyle, there's nothing quite as nice as saying good night. You mean good morning? Thank you.
So then yesterday there was another weird conversation. Now, like I say, now everything is fine now. It's just it was a cruddy 48 hours because yesterday. There was this guy. I said to her, you know, I don't know what the problem is. I went upstairs and I go, we had an anniversary a couple of weeks ago. I said, you know, I'm looking at the card that I gave you and the card that you made me. Now, here's the thing. Just 2 weeks ago, you give me this card. You tell me that you love me and that, you know, I'm your best friend. And I said, so what happened in 2 weeks? In 2 weeks? She said, no. Well, no, it's not just that. And then I said, well, then exactly what is it? And as it turns out...
Did either one of you at any point during these 48 hours use an alien voice?
No, we did not. No. Although there was yelling and there was walking out of rooms, you know, where I would get mad and walk out. But no, I'd be honest. I only did that once. It was always her walking out of the room and me having to follow her.
The chase, yeah.
You know, and then, you know... Then
do most men chase, incidentally? And I think mostly we do.
Most
men, like, say something horrible and then have to hunt them down to find them?
I think so. Yeah.
Then what I say to her, because now I feel like I'm backed in a corner. This was yesterday morning. She says, listen, we don't talk. And I said, oh, all we do is talk. And all I do is listen. And she said, well, sometimes when I say something to you that I think is important, and you know what she brought up of all things was the discussion about the chickens in bed.
Oh, yeah.
When we were in bed, and she said, for instance, if we're lying in bed and the news is on and I say, oh, I feel bad for those chickens. She said, what did you say? And I said, I like eating them. She said, now, why'd you say that? I said, because I was just goofing around. She said, what I want is, I want for you to say, oh, that's too bad for those chickens. I feel bad. You know, I feel empathy for you for the way that I... Hey, come on! What kind of junk is that? What kind of crap is that?
She wanted you to feel
bad
the
for
chicken's
chicken.
Pain?
Yes. She wanted me to feel bad for the chicken's pain.
Well, that means you, if you were to do that
and then,
in its purest form, you'd have to stop eating them.
And then, correct, and I can't, Mike, because I like eating them. And
you
then,
like chicken just about as much as anything.
I eat it every day. And then we got to the point where I finally said, well, here's an easy way to solve this. Whether it's companion, partner, spouse, let's just rate it. You know, we've been married 23 years. Let's give a grade to each other. What do you think? And I'm talking whole package, you know. And I went first. I said to her, here's my deal. I love you more than anything. You're my best friend. Things are great. You know, even with the ball busting, I love that about you. I give you an A.
Fatal error.
Yeah, because you
fatal,
know,
no, fatal error.
And it's what I feel.
No, but see, you lie about that. You, at least a B plus. You
no.
have to have some room for improvement. Well, then, you know, you'll
listen, I'm happy
be
with her.
Your tail.
I'm happy with her. I mean, up until this weekend, I was happy with her. And especially...
listen to me. What do I know?
Until I got, you know... So I say to her, you're an A.
You know that? I'm thinking, maybe if I doled a few A's out, I wouldn't be in the system.
You're an A.
Who knows?
And I don't mean that like ass, because I'd say the other... You're
I always call an A.
And then she said to me, she said, well, I don't want to give you a grade. And I said, why? Because the grade's so low? And she said...
Was she like Mr. Hand in Fast Times at Ridgemont High?
Yes, she said...
Did she hold up a piece of paper and drop it down like it smelled?
No, she did. She said, I really don't want to. And I said, come on, what's the grade? And I was thinking, like you, Mike, lower the expectations.
Yeah.
You're not going to give me an A, right?
All
I said, so what? Is it a B?
What were you hoping for?
A B. A high B.
A high B. A B plus?
Sure. Her grade, to me,
mm-hmm.
C minus.
Passing.
Well, you passed.
Yeah, you passed.
Yeah.
Yeah.
What guy wants to do better than that?
And then I said to her, I said, wait a minute. If the roles were reversed here, and if I really thought in my heart that I wouldn't take that.
If I got the grade you could have given me.
I wouldn't want that if I was you, I wouldn't want that.
I got the grade that all men could give their wives in this situation.
What?
And remember, listen to who you're talking to.
Okay.
All right, Mr. Failed Marriage over here.
Yeah.
I say, you say, incomplete. I don't have enough information to make.
See, here's the thing, Mike.
I don't know.
You know,
okay,
in the heat of the battle, when I'm being backed into this corner,
right?
You know, when I really feel like Apollo Creed, and I've just got my hands up, and Rocky Balboa is just body blow, and I don't know what to do, and I end up saying to her, all I do is listen to you. All I do is try to do what you want me to do. I don't know what else to tell you. You know, you gotta deal with it. And then I made another fatal mistake. I said, all the crap you worry about, it's all window dressing. I said, it's all window, the crap you worry about, like walking and getting in touch with our feelings, it's crap. I said, what matters is right here. And I said, what am I? I said, I love you. You love me. That's all that matters. All this other crap is window dressing, and that was
I agree with you.
That was a tragic mistake.
Well, it was total honesty.
On my part. A tragic mistake, because she came back and she said, you know, how dare you call my feelings window dressing? What you think is window dressing is what really is important to me. And that if you really knew anything about me, you know that I have feelings about all these things, but I don't tell you these things because you act like you're not interested in these things. And I'm getting all this, I swear to Christ, out of the blue. I'm getting this out of the freaking blue on my weekend. So, how is it resolved?
To have the date end.
Here's how the date ended. That we argued.
I can't relate to that. That's something coming at you out of the blue.
We argued a little yesterday afternoon, and then I took her to get an ice cream cone.
Oh, that's good.
Very good.
That's a good start.
As she requested, you know. Would you take me to get an ice cream cone? You know, I would hate to take you away from the football. He said, no problem. You can take me away from the football. Take you for your ice cream cone. Went and had the ice cream cone, and then there was the requisite amount of, you know, just ass kissing on my part. You know, frankly, that's all. That's all it ends up being.
You'll have to work harder now to get your grades up.
That's, you know, and frankly, that's how the date ended. It's like, I figure this is just something that happens to couples every once in a while.
Right,
you know,
true. But I'm not going to sit here in my current situation and give you my, what are now decidedly radical views on the institution of marriage in America. I'm really not.
I just think that my kid just went back to college, that there's a little stress level in my house right now. I might be contributing to that stress level. I might not be. All I know is that it was a weekend from hell.
I will tell you, you are not alone in this.
No.
I hear this, and I hear it as a much more acutely aware observer of marriage and my friends
yep.
who are married. And let me tell you something. I believe you are at the 90% mark.
Mm-hmm. I agree.
I think everybody, you know, and there are exceptions, and man, those exceptions are few and far between, and they are, I am envious of those exceptions. But, you know, by and large, I don't think you're alone. And especially the longer it goes on, I think it's just the nature of the beast.
You know,
I know, and somebody might say, oh, you're full of it. There are so many. No, I really believe that most of my friends who are married are in these situations, and
I don't see the thing
it's,
is...
It's the way it is.
This is why my wife kicked me in the nuts. If you would have asked me on Saturday how are things, mm-hmm. I would have said, better than ever. Mm-hmm. Really, better than ever.
Right.
I'm on top of the freaking world, feeling good, you know, better health-wise, better sure. mentally health-wise,
right.
feeling good. But apparently on the other side of the aisle, I'm simply... What would that? Would that be a 69? Is that a 68? Would be a
60 minus would be, I guess, 70 to 74.
Well, the motto of this show is to keep it light, and that's what I intend to do. Keep it light.
You know what I?
But
think?
I tell you, I could. I am an observer.
I know you could.
Of all of you boys.
I know you
I am.
Could.
And I tell you, it is something that and my family members and everybody else.
I think she just wanted an ice cream cone. And she got it.
I'm going to see if I can get her on the phone now.
You don't have to work. Be single to have radical views.
Hold on a second.
You're right.
Yeah.
You're absolutely right. True. But I mean, you know.
Yeah, hi. Hi. Who is this, please? Oh, hi. Is Frida there? Yeah, her husband. Thanks.
Oh, you.
Oh, him.
Right, it's him. Let's get her take. Because, see, she's not heard any of what I've had to say. She's at work right now. Let's see how she describes the weekend. I did not tell her I was going to be calling her today.
Okay.
You didn't book her?
I didn't book her. And she really, I don't know if she
might be in that busy mode, you know,
maybe
where
she is
doing something.
Hello.
Hi, darling.
Hi, sweet pea.
You're on the air.
I figured that. Why are you bothering me? I'm a busy, busy woman.
I was wondering if you had made up your mind yet today on if you were going to stay with me or not.
I decided that even though you are in many ways a cripple, if you were Christopher Reeve, I wouldn't abandon you. So why should I abandon you just because you're you?
Oh, I give her a round of applause for that.
That is nice. Yeah, thank you.
So I'll be there. I'll be there for you always.
That's all you need?
Yeah.
What do you think? How would you grade this weekend? I was just saying all the ups and downs, and I said everything.
I'm sure you were unbiased. You've always said things accurately.
Was I biased or unbiased? I said...
And you weren't there. Your buddies weren't there, so they really don't know.
Did I not say that everything ended with me groveling and saying...
But you said it ended with an ice cream cone.
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
Yeah.
All right. Well, all's well that ends well.
Right.
You know, I just understand from my standpoint... You know, you say to me out of the blue on Saturday morning, well, hey, I've just called so you wouldn't worry. I'm not leaving you.
Had I decided that by then?
I didn't know it was an option, baby.
Yeah, right. I think it was, you were marginal for a little while there on Saturday morning. No, or yes, it was Saturday morning, right. But then,
right.
You know, I decided to stay with you. So good. Your contract's renewed.
That's great.
You're funny. You're funny.
All right.
You were killing me this weekend. I told you that. You're killing me this weekend.
Peter Bear, you got to make minimal effort. I know you are the way you are. I know you've got many good qualities that I appreciate. And are not a surprise, but you got to make minimal effort. And if you're going to have a week where it's nothing but football and where I'm a piece of furniture, we're going to have problems.
See, what she doesn't get is it's a special time of the year. Now is the time when there's football on all the time.
When we married, it was not every night. It was only Sundays and
Sunday
nights.
But back then, we didn't have HBO and the NFL channel.
I know. So you got to make minimal effort to be with me occasionally.
I am with you occasionally. I'm with you every day.
No, it doesn't count if I'm in another room and you're watching Regis. That is not being with me. You know, you gotta make plans to do things with me, to go out with me. One night a week is all I'm asking.
And we, what happened to our one night a week plan? What happened to the movies?
And with
out?
Occasionally with other human beings.
Oh,
I know you hate other human beings. That's a deal breaker.
Yeah, see, but that's the thing, baby. I mean, I don't mind it, but you like to do it so much. I'm asking
for one night a week.
All these people, though.
Well, and occasionally with other human beings. Not even every time. I don't think that I'm compromising for you, sugar.
I don't like other people.
I know you do.
I like being with you.
I know.
I do. I mean, that's the truth. I'm a hermit. I'm a recluse. You'll at least give me this. This has not been a behavior change, a modification, like that's just come out of the blue, right?
Oh, but we have this discussion. It's like an annual fight. You promised to try and find something you will do with me. We picked golf to try and do that together to be a little bit more social. That hasn't really panned out.
No.
So you got to make.
I'm just too busy.
Yeah. All right. Well, I have got to work now. I can't do marriage counseling right now.
Sugar. Okay. Well, do you think we're to the point where we need marriage counseling?
I don't think. I think you and I are both so tired and old that it wouldn't do a lot of good. That we know what we got. And you're willing to work with me, so I'm optimistic.
Why wouldn't I be willing to work with you? Or why would I? When you gave me a C-.
You gave yourself the C-.
Well, because I said...
Hey, be careful of those marriage counselors. They ended up sending out business cards from attorneys.
Because I said to you, what would my grade be? And you said, well, I wouldn't really want to say. And I said, B, and you said, no.
No, you volunteered the fact that you would give yourself a C- in my eyes.
No, you didn't say that.
No. Mike, don't screw with me like that.
Right, and this is not anything new. I'm sure that everyone takes what you say with a grain of salt. But you evaluated yourself.
I was blind. Well, after you told me what was required of the... how did you describe it? Of the ideal man? Is that what you kept saying over and over? If I was the ideal...
No, I said in a perfect world, my husband would be my companion. That's what I said.
That was it.
You know,
that was
excuse me for having my, you know, the pie in the sky dream where my husband's actually, you know, a pal of mine.
All right.
What?
All right, I got to go.
Now what? Now hold on, Mike. Why did you just say
no,
all right?
It sounds like what you said. It's very similar. You two are telling the same stories.
Yeah.
It doesn't sound like anybody was exaggerating here.
No. I was telling you the truth. I told you exactly what you said.
Okay, I got to work. I mean, if I'm going to be single potentially, I need to earn a living.
See, now this is where you kill me.
I'm joking. I depend on you for my living. Get used to it. And besides, if I were single, I'd still have a living. Believe me.
Yeah, right, because I'm not the goose that laid the golden egg, right?
No, times would be okay for me.
That's right, darling.
All right. I'm not worried about it.
I know you're not.
All right, good. I love you. I do love you. Goodbye, sweetie.
Bye-bye.
That started a lot different than it ended right there.
That was kind of the tone I got all
up. Excuse me.
Understandable. Excuse me, I'm throwing up. This is very emotional to me right now.
Everyone understands.
Oh, I just puked all my heart out. Please.
She started out like way up here, and she ended up like...
Please.
It got darker and darker.
Hey, Frida.
Shut up!
It got darker and darker. Did you sense that?
Yeah, a little
like,
ominous.
Right, hey, how are you? Everything's snow? It's a, you know, at the end, it's like, I'll do fine. I'll do fine without you.
Yes.
Yeah, right.
It was a bit of that.
I can, well.
I don't know what's going on. Yeah, and I dared to say to her, midlife crisis. I dared to say that to her.
Sure.
Because I'll give you this, I'm not the most handsome guy out there. I'm not a guy that if you need something fixed around the house, I can't do that. You know what I am though? I'm like the best dog you ever had. I'm loyal as the day is long.
Right.
I will hump your leg morning, noon, and night, and I'll make sure you always have food and water in your dish.
That's it. What more can you ask for?
No, nothing really.
So anyway.
Hey, how was your weekend?
That ends my weekend recap.
Wow.
I like to bring you a little something on a Monday. Sometimes everyone can dig in.
Love is like candy.
Just get a big bite out of it. I had a great weekend.
You super.
I had a fantastic weekend. However, I want you to know this. That while all that stuff was going on with my wife, I said, God damn her. And listen to what I watched over the weekend.
Yeah.
I started with Detroit at Cleveland, then Redskins and Miami.
At 8 o'clock, it's Indy. Oh, Peyton Manning, he's so good. Who are they playing? Oh, that's right, the New York Jets. At 9 o'clock, I turned on CBS and saw the Oakland Raiders. At 10 o'clock, I turned on NFL and I saw Cincinnati and New England. At 12 a.m., I watched Houston Texans play the Pittsburgh Steelers.
Now you're stretching.
Then Sunday morning at 8 o'clock, I watched the replay of Buffalo and Tennessee.
I am not lying about any of that.
Wow. What do you think of my man Eli?
Eli didn't see the Giants play.
You didn't see the Giants?
I didn't see the
Giants. You watch all that football? Oh,
when were they on?
I don't know. Over the weekend.
I didn't see the Giants play this weekend.
You were
weekend.
Out for ice cream.
I didn't see the Giants.
They're talking about Eli's going to be the starter.
I didn't see it. Didn't see them. Saw a lot of other games.
You watched the Houston Texans?
Sure.
At 8 o'clock in the morning, but you don't see the Giants play.
Well, they weren't on the channel. I'm sure they'll replay it at some point on channel 212.
You'll see it eventually.
I'll see it. Mm-hmm. So anyway, I had a great weekend as far as watching football goes.
Yeah.
All that crap with my wife, I don't know, man. If she hadn't already been...
I think it's going to be fine once the regular season starts.
Mm-hmm. If she hadn't already been through all that, she's already been through the change. long time ago.
Right. Right.
So I can't even say that it's,
I think it's the time of year. You could probably go back and look at it, and when you have all this preseason football, that's what it is.
Mm-hmm. Well, and then she said to me one of the things this morning when we were speaking, on friendly terms, she said, so what's the schedule this week? I said, what do you mean? She said, well, what games are on that you want to see? I said, well, you don't want to know. She said, why? I said, okay, Monday night, tonight, St. Louis and Kansas City. Thursday night, I'm not really sure who's on, but somebody's on Thursday night. Friday night, I'll watch the Rams and the Redskins. Saturday night, I'll watch whatever game is on Saturday night.
Mm-hmm.
I think Sunday is open, maybe. And there's another game on Monday, another game on Wednesday. It only happens this way at the beginning of the year, in the preseason.
Well, the preseason is your time.
I love it.
Even more so than the regular season.
And I'll find time for her. I mean, like yesterday. She came down yesterday and said, what are you watching? I said, nothing. There were no games on yesterday.
Mm-hmm.
All the games were on Saturday or Saturday night, where I was able to block out that 8 to 12 hours that I just sat in front of the TV and watched.
Half a day.
Watched, yes, a third of a day, Mike.
Well, if it's 8 or 12, it depends.
Well, okay, a half a day. If it's really, if I got to be honest, it's 12.
Uh-huh. Right.
But what the hell. So anyway, what can I say? I'm a young, successful, happily married man. Doing a great radio show.
That's right, Bradley, who loves football.
I'm feeling pretty good about myself right now.
That's good.
Feeling strong today.
That's good.
So, the Red Sox.
Yes!
Yes, now, coming on strong.
Unbelievable.
The Boston Red Sox, along with the collapse of the New York Yankees.
You don't get that word in the Yankees used in the same sentence very often.
Right.
And it's not a collapse. I mean, the fact is, and Joe Torre said it over the weekend. Joe Torre said he's just glad he's got a team that's in this position. That with the way they played, they still happen to be five and a half games in front of the Red Sox.
Seven and a half.
Yeah, seven and a half. But I mean, I'm thinking, right now, I'm just thinking really in terms of the division first and the Tom Gavin bet second.
Well, I had to do some research.
It's a lofty goal.
I had to do some research because once they got below seven, that's when I went to ESPN.com and found out that the Red Sox play the Yankees head-to-head six more times before the end of the year.
Pretty amazing. I mean, they're inside. I mean, it's pretty astonishing. It really is.
You're a true Sox fan, so I really can only ask you this question.
Right.
Is there a chance they're making this late season run just to truly break your heart?
Absolutely.
That's right.
Yeah.
They do. Rob Spiewak with a very astute and very bright question.
So anyway, good
showing
thing.
Depth of knowledge of my situation. I'm thinking there's a 50% chance of that happening.
Good thing you didn't concede the bet last week.
Yes.
I still think you're going to be a big loser, but good for your boys.
Well, I'm
making it interesting.
Last night they did it, they did it the way they always do it, win or lose. It's that scary.
If it means anything to you.
Yes.
One of the thoughts that I had when I was just sitting reflecting on my weekend,
right,
as I was looking at the sports page, was I had like maybe the worst weekend I've had in 10 years. And now I look at the standings.
Right.
What happens? What happens if the Red Sox win?
Mm-hmm.
I'm going to have turd toe cheese all over my fingers.
And for that, I thank the Red Sox for this particular week.
So
I thank the Red Sox for having, you know, for sweeping Chicago while the Angels swept the Yankees. And it's great seeing A-Rod, A-Rod, who wanted to go play for the Yankees, to see him grab that water bottle and smash it up against the wall. These are special moments. And, you know, I've said this to you all along. I never expect, you know, you want to talk about diminished expectations. I expect in the long run that somehow, some way, my heart will be broken. But so what I do now, what I'm able to do after all these years, is take the good and take the moments and enjoy them. And you know what? After last night, and believe me, it didn't count unless they won last night, because it was on national television. Last night, I enjoyed it.
Mm-hmm.
Last night, I totally dug the entire experience. And, you know, you talk about your passion for football. I sat down and watched that entire game from start to finish, cursing the ups, the downs, a bottle of red wine to my right, a full pack of cigarettes that I had quit for 3 days that finally were broken into at right about the eighth inning.
Congratulations on that three-day quit.
Yeah, it was 4 days, I think. It was actually 4 days, and then I cracked him again, you know, because it's like, oh, my God, when Manny dropped the fly ball.
Well, now, if you want to follow this now, this bet, because now the time, there's a month left. Mike bet me back in April. It was Mike's bet that the Red Sox would win the American League East by two games.
By two games.
The loser gives Tom Gavin, who is nude, a full body massage live on the show. So go ahead and follow that now in your sports sections. And hey, how about that Olympic Dream Team? Where is that guy that called me last week? Nice playing, Dream Team.
Well, see, there's where I'm wrong on my bet. I mean, because they're looking like crap.
They lost to Lithuania.
Lithuania's got a good team.
No, they don't. No, they don't. I think that our dream team should play against the WLBA.
Right.
Play against our women over there. Our women kick ass over there.
Sure like that female beach volleyball, though. Even though they're not good-looking women.
I can't watch.
I still like that wedgie territory.
I can't watch the Olympics. I just can't watch them. Every time I turn on.
I watched them this weekend. I watched the crew guys, the guys, the oarsmen, because I used to do that. So
yeah.
It was fun. If I'm watching the U.S. win the gold for the first time in 40 years. You know, bits and pieces of it are okay.
Yeah.
But you know what has fallen apart? And there was a bad review. Somebody wrote a review of it. The Today Show has just disintegrated. You know what they were doing today?
What?
They had a weightlifter, and they're out there with broomsticks. Katie, Matt, Al, with broomsticks, and he's showing them how to do the clean and jerk. And then here's the depth of the interview. Okay, you want to talk about worthless network airspace?
Uh-huh.
This is Matt Lauer's comment to the guy. What's with that grunting you guys do?
And of course,
I said, this show is, you know, seriously, this has turned into Diamond in the Morning.
And they're all casual. They're all casual.
Right.
Katie's over there showing off her bionic legs, and she's got her...
You're so right about
her
that.
Her cute friggin' ponytail.
It's really a horrible show now. And it's a horrible show. I don't know whether they talk about the time factor, but it's just useless.
And, you know, on a day like today, I mean, what's the biggest news story? The news story is all this Bush-Kerry stuff about the ads and everything.
Right.
I turned on the Today Show, and here was her first comment.
Right.
With her ponytail. I'm Katie Couric. It's sunny. It's 92. And in Athens, it's 2:00 in the afternoon, so this is like the best schedule we've ever had.
Right.
Matt, have you had a lot of fun? Katie, have I collected a lot of pins here at the Olympics?
Right. No.
Why, just yesterday, I was out with Al Roker. Blah, 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 blah.
And today they have the chef on that's cooking for all the athletes. Stimulating.
Well,
fascinating. Well,
as
we do lots of Greek food.
As most Greeks are, I happen to see that guy.
Oh, my God. What a waste of water.
I ain't seen one Greek yet who's worth, who could sniff Anthony Quinn's jockstrap.
And you mentioned the Kerry campaign and all that back and forth. For my money, being a Kerry supporter, get more of those Swift Boat Veterans for Truth on national TV. Please, bring them on. I want to see
here's
even
what
more,
I
more because I like the way they answer the question. Well, he did have a plan.
Who gives?
It was a big, evil plan that he was going to get the Bronze Star.
Who gives two turds? Really, who gives two turds about what Kerry did in Vietnam or what Bush did in the National Guard? Who gives two turds?
Anybody that's in the know politically will tell you that this is a strategy that has been done by George Bush and the people that surround him, his political people. What they do is they take what is the perceived strength of the opponent, and they go right after it, right. No matter how strong.
Anyway, then Kerry should be smart enough just to say, "Knock it off."
No, being a Kerry supporter, I like him. I like him. I like him taking the gloves off.
Why? Because they're not taking the gloves off. Right. If they want to take the gloves off, let's take the gloves off.
I want him to go
about the economy, about Iraq, about all the problems. I don't care if Kerry made up his Vietnam stuff. I don't care if Bush made up his National Guard stuff.
That's interesting. You feel that way. I just get.
I don't.
I get mad at these guys. I get mad at guys that are that this is kind of being allowed to happen. And, you know, really, like George Bush Sr. once said, you know, I don't want to sound like the kid in the schoolyard.
But, Mike,
he started it.
No, listen.
I shouldn't have argued with Freedia this weekend because I'm too hot about all topics.
I've just reached my zenith.
For the whole issue?
On this particular issue?
What do you do? These guys are coming at him. What do you want him to do?
I want Kerry to get on TV, or Bush to get on TV. I want him to say, listen, this is really irrelevant. Whether our guys did it or your guys did it. You know, and I think if Kerry stood up and said, hey, there are a lot bigger problems than...
He has.
Well, he's not done it in a forum.
But he did it early on.
Yeah. He did it and
he was under a tremendous amount of pressure to come out and answer these guys.
He did it and then the people from whatever his .org thing, they keep doing the stuff about Bush. Or on the other hand, aren't these like internet things that we're talking about?
Well, we're talking about the main thrust of all of this is this group of, it's what they call it soft money. And it comes from, it's not sanctioned. Here's what I don't get about it. These are all these PACs, all these organizations that have their political agenda, and they throw these commercials on, and what's amazing about it...
I've not seen one of these commercials. All I do is watch television.
What they do is they come out and they insinuate that, that he really didn't earn his... He wasn't being truthful about his medals.
But see, here's the thing. I don't care. So then the Kerry people said, well, Bush got a pass from his daddy about the National... I don't care. What are you going to do for me today? My wife just told me on Saturday that she's staying with me. President Bush, John Kerry, what are you going to do about that?
Well, I think when they get to the debate part after the convention.
I'm soured on the whole thing.
When John McCain, who's a Republican, came out and said, hey, listen, this is unfair. You ought to condemn it. They should have condemned it, and then it would have probably stopped. And then you could have get on to the end of the issues. But right now, nobody's condemning it from the White House, and it keeps going. He's got to defend himself.
God, they're both like five-year-old kids. That's why I hate politics.
Yeah, only one five-year-old kid decided that he'd go to war, and one didn't.
Jesus, Mike.
Well, it's the truth.
Let me just say this. I grow tired of this democracy. I really grow tired of this democracy.
One guy fought in Vietnam.
Here's the thing. Who gives two rats ass?
I do.
Great. And how is that going to help?
I do. And you know
what? Going to help us? And I'm on your side. I'm going to vote for Kerry. How does that help us in the big picture? With Iraq? With the economy?
I'll tell you what the big picture is. My feeling is somebody that goes over and fights for the country and knows what it is to be in combat, to fight for the American people, to fight for the United States, to serve his country, to go over there with... Whatever the circumstances are, to actually be in a combat situation, I think you have a better perspective on what it is when we are involved in combat around the world. It's as simple as that.
And I think that you are normally very knowledgeable, more knowledgeable than me about politics. I will say you've been suckered into this, that this is an issue that you shouldn't be getting hot about, that this is... An issue that is...
Well, here's the deal. I mean, I've supported this candidate, for a long time. I've read his position papers. I agree with a lot of things that he says, and I disagree with some of the things he says. But the fact is, I don't think being suckered in is just... Do I get mad about what these guys are doing? Yes, I do. If that's being suckered in, that's fine. I think the last go-around, the guys that should have won the election didn't stand up enough and let this crap be flung all over the airways and nobody stood up to it.
Then don't complain, and I'm not talking to you, just America. Don't complain about how Jerry Springer our country is, because this is, from my perspective, what's wrong with the whole thing. We got an election in 3 months. We got terrorists. We got all the crap that I've already outlined. And all we care about now is... Well, did this guy really earn his medals? Is he lying? Did this guy get out of the National Guard?
Now, let me ask you, where do you spin out of it? How do you defend yourself?
What's the defense? One of them says either I did it or I didn't do it. and I'm not going to do this anymore. And you say Carrie may have said that. I don't know, Mike.
Well, he did early on, and then he was, you know, really, the way I read...
I hate politics!
The way I understand
it... I hate these guys.
Is that he was pressured...
I just hate these... They're both... You know, they're both just asses. They're both just asses. You know, I find it hard to believe that either one of them actually cares about America. I really do. They want the job. Both guys. And Mike, I'm still going for Kerry here.
No, you're speaking from the heart. I have no problem with that. But I mean, I get hot too. I get mad about this. I get mad. I get tired of the same crap. I really do. The same crap that they threw at, you know, at John McCain. It's the same exact thing they did to him. And they do it because, hey, here's a guy that, you know, I mean, I can't imagine what it would be to be in that situation, to be over there to deal with that crap. That's what I can't imagine. I don't know what it was like, and I really resent the fact that people attack a guy when there should be no attack. There should be no attack at all.
I think I want to leave you.
I give you a C minus.
I apologize. Okay.
Hey, I don't do it all the time. I keep it in my pants most of the time.
Let's stop this.
Do, though. Don't I? Don't I keep it in check?
Yes, you do. Yeah,
I could come in here and I could do it for 4 hours.
Sometimes the cow comes out of the barn. Every once in a while, the cow at least sticks his head out of the barn sometimes and say, hello, moo, what's happening?
And you know, here's the deal, and I will say this. I'm going to say this once, and I will not. Look, I know what our job is here. Our job is to come here and have a little fun. I think we had a little fun with it Friday. We have fun with both sides of the equation. But the fact is, for whatever reason, I just feel it's very important this time around. And I feel it's so important that
we should stop focusing on this garbage, which, at least to me, you said you feel different, mm-hmm. to me, matters not.
No, I agree with you there. I mean, don't think I don't agree with you on that particular issue. I wish it wasn't like that. I wish we weren't sitting here going, well, you know, did he do this? Didn't he do this?
Yeah,
you know,
right.
He served here, he served there. You know,
right. Let's do it like American Idol. Let's just put him on, you know, let him sing, and then we'll vote. Because that's what it is, folks. Ain't nobody care about the issues anymore. Mm-hmm. Now it's every, you know, who's going to be the Fantasia that we pick this time? No, Mike, we have not.
It's been a beauty contest for how many years?
It always has been.
Almost in all my lifetime.
But now it's more. Because everything is more now. Because now with these too many friggin' shows and too many friggin' magazines.
Yeah, I mean, too many people make a living doing it. I mean, it seems to be a cottage industry.
And if I ever see George Stephanopoulos, and I don't necessarily like or dislike his politics, I'm just going to smack him.
I really being one of them.
Same with you, big fat Tim Russert, and same with the old guy on CBS, all of you, Bob Schieffer. I'll let all three of you up and kick your asses. God, you got these people on your shows, and I'm actually wasting time watching political television. It's...
Oh, man.
What do you think about this?
Yes, you are not a good companion.
No.
Oh, man.
Okay, let's break. Let's break.
That was so just purging, wasn't it?
And when we come back, get ready. Now, I did mention that we would have a great show today. Not that this hasn't been great.
I think it's been just fine.
And
yeah.
Riveting.
I give it a C minus.
I would give my performance an A. At least my side of the argument, the political argument, I would give it an A.
Yeah, then I'll give myself an A. And when it comes to politics, which I've graded myself for years, I give myself one big effing incomplete.
Believe me. When we come back, you're going to love this. The Larry King from 60 Minutes the other night with Mike Wallace.
This is Larry being
this is the
Larry.
This is the most recent Larry, like, taped 2 weeks ago.
Oh, can't wait.
And we love Larry and everything that Larry stands for.
Absolutely.
So stay right there.
Fantastic.
Mike, let me just tell you this.
Yes, Don.
He's not Larry from the corner.
Oh, really?
No.
What is he now?
He's Larry of the corner. you'll hear that in the tape. I'm Larry.
What an ass!
I'm Larry of the corner.
This is the Don and Mike Show.
Too busy to meet new friends? The WJFK Dateline can change your life. Log on to WJFK.com.
106.7. WJFK.
The Don and Mike Show.
What the hell was that?
is the Don and Mike Show.
Let me just say, who doesn't remember? Who doesn't remember? We do. Today is August 23rd.
With an estimated completion date of January 1995. The rest
no, of no. So the plan, if I may, was to complete Hank's Look Around Cafe on August 23rd, this year. That's my birthday.
The Don and Mike Show.
Okay, this anniversary for Don and Mike, and after it's taped, give it to Andrea, and she'll phone and say she's got it, okay? Hi, it's Larry King in Washington. So proud of the fact that Don and Mike have reached their 8th anniversary. Pleasure to welcome you aboard. Happy organization. Happy anniversary, guys. You're both, I was going to say you're both terrific, but...
Never really understood that tape.
No. World-class dancers, Don and Mike.
Do you remember in the dear dim past when we actually had Jeffrey Tambor on to celebrate Hank Kingsley's birthday?
One time we did, like 5 years ago.
Yeah. And he came on and just appeared frightened. He said, why do you know this?
Was there ever a better character played on television than Jeffrey Tambor?
Never.
Hank Kingsley.
The only thing that approaches it is maybe Barney Fife, but I think he wins it. In
Hank's Look Around Cafe.
And I am so proud that you refer to my fine establishment as
Hank's
the Look Around
Cafe.
I could not be more proud.
Well, now, has it worked out a little bit?
Yeah, yes, absolutely. It has. In fact, a lot, but I do, the number one question is, I thought it was the Look Around Cafe. Yeah,
Mike, anytime anybody says that to you, you say this to them.
I'm Larry. I'm Larry of the corner.
Oh,
God, get ready. Larry, get ready.
I'm Larry. I'm Larry of the corner. Honest to God, that's where I feel, that's in me. I never got Brooklyn out of me.
Okay. I'm just going to give you a couple more brief snippets.
I'm curious. I want to know why.
Why?
And one more.
This is great.
What do you worry about, Larry?
The only thing I worry about is dying.
Well.
Having said that.
Understandable.
You know our history with Lay King. This thing that was on 60 Minutes the other night.
Again, please, what I worry about, please, it's too good. The only thing I worry about.
The only thing I worry about is dying.
My God.
Just wait, you're going to hear so many great snippets.
Larry.
In this upcoming segment. Now, good. This is from 60 Minutes. First, here's Mike Wallace, another old guy.
Tonight on 60 Minutes. Tonight, Larry King, 70 years old. Originally a kid from Brooklyn without a college degree.
Where's my meatloaf?
He has been asking questions on radio and television for more than 40 years.
No, I don't care about that. Here's some Larry. Here's Larry about why he loves Los Angeles.
This is great already.
We've got 19 separate cuts of Larry.
Larry of the corner.
So here he is. Wow. He's Larry of the corner. Here he is talking about how he loves Los Angeles. This is from last week, 60 Minutes, a tape courtesy CBS. LN to EastCoastBob.com.
Very good.
Unbelievable. I pinch myself more. I can't. I mean, I was doing great, but whoever thought I'd get a house in Beverly Hills?
He says all this was triggered back in 1994.
If it doesn't fit,
that's when the O.J. Simpson murder trial began in Los Angeles, and he was out here covering it for CNN.
And I got to like it. I liked the climate. I liked the people. I liked the entertainment world.
Ass.
The entertainment world has reciprocated his affection.
I can't believe this.
That was apparent a couple of months ago when he and his new family arrived for his 70th birthday party at the Museum of Television and Radio in Los Angeles.
Happy birthday to you.
Larry King Live is on CNN around the world, 7 nights a week.
You haven't the right to ask me this question. There are many positive signs.
Nonsense.
It's brought him recognition that astonishes him.
I was in South Africa, and I'm walking down the street. And the guy comes out of like a hut, and he goes, Larry King Live! And it was like, you gotta be kidding me.
I'm so hot.
Wow.
I'm so fabulous.
There are so many. There are so many great Larry moments. Once Mike Wallace shuts up, just listen.
Don't you think, at this point you have to say, don't you think Larry's big enough now where he doesn't have to make those kind of comments anymore?
No. Of course.
And a guy comes up and says, Larry King Live.
When we sat down recently, I showed him the Larry King I first met in Washington, D.C.
Take a look.
at the show we did together in 92.
Let's look at Larry.
Larry King is the man the candidates want to talk to, for they've discovered what movie stars already knew.
Blah, blah.
That Larry King Live is an...
Never asks a tough question.
Right. ...funny interviewer who frequently asks simple questions others wish they'd thought of.
No.
Bottom line, he makes his guests comfortable.
Retarded questions.
Oh, that's...
That's the rap.
Yeah, I know.
I don't think you're a patsy. You get information your way, I get information my way. But the rap on King is that he's a patsy. He will never ask a hard question.
The rap on
these are
King.
These are two guys that like
they
taking
might as
their
well,
little boats out in Lake Mead.
They might as well both have their pants off.
And what Mike Wallace is doing, and which is, I think, the 92 interview, is saying, you get your information your way.
I do it my way.
I do it the tough
the
guy
old,
way.
The old-fashioned way. Right.
I'm Larry. I'm Larry of the corner. Honest to God, that's the way I feel. That's in me. I never got Brooklyn out of me. Basically, my style is one of utter... It's almost... I don't want to say naivety. I'm curious. I want to know why.
Looking at that, what wigs me out the most is how fat I was. I think I look better now. I know I think I feel better now.
Yeah.
I'm looking at a person I look there, except for my hair gone gray, that I look older there than I feel now.
What hair?
What hair,
now,
Larry?
Hold on.
My painted hair going gray.
I think the one... Oh, where's the one about the... the wedding? When's that one coming up? We got one cut until we get a great insight about Larry getting married.
Oh, good.
And we will analyze all of these. I just want to play these for you first.
Good. Take another look. Women. Women and Larry King. What a saga. Why are you looking so serious?
Because it's an area of my life I haven't done well with. I've done.
You've been married how many times?
Five.
Some say there were two more he doesn't talk about.
Betty Davis said to me, you know, Larry, the camera's a mistress, and nobody can compete with that.
So your wife or your love
it's
is
the old interview, right? It's the old
you know, I used to say, if I came home, I had two messages. Your wife called urgent.
Yeah.
CNN called urgent. I'd call CNN.
No contest.
No contest.
The part there that would change the most dramatically is that urgent phone call.
Urgent.
If I got two urgent phone calls, call the wife or call CNN. Hands down, call the wife.
Well, so there's that.
Yeah, well, I'm so glad you had that epiphany, Larry. And then...
Remember, we were on the air in 92, and we knew about that interview, and we gave him a hard time about that back then.
Right? Here is Larry with a great, great, great revelation about marrying Sean Southwick.
The wife, Sean Southwick, a devout Mormon, more than two decades younger than his self-proclaimed agnostic Jew. In December of 1996, outside Tiffany's in Beverly Hills.
Of course.
They married 9 months later.
Right.
Sean, tell us about your wedding night.
Now, what kind of a first question is that, Mike?
It's Mike.
Theirs was a wedding that almost didn't happen.
Listen to Larry.
I got some few chest pains. First chest pains I've had in 10 years. This is my wedding day now. I'm lying in bed. There's a minister over there. People are all gathering around the bed. The doctors are arguing. The guy from New York says, I can get it out with angioplasty. Let's take him back. And I said, I'm going back to New York.
Right.
So we got married right at the bed.
When we heard that...
I forgot that.
Wow.
I didn't know that. I didn't know that he had...
Did they really get married at the bed?
Yeah, because he had...
Basically, my style is one of utter... It's almost... I don't want to say naivety. I'm curious...
They got married when he was in the bed because he had the chest
pain. Oh, that's right. They thought he might buy the farm.
That's right.
Wow.
That's right.
I'm Larry of the corner.
He finishes up.
Larry was going to have surgery. It all happened very quickly. We had to make quick decisions. I knew deep down inside he was going to be okay. He's a tough guy.
Well, of course he is, darling. We've not yet heard about the wedding party, the age difference, his love of chance and canon, his friends at the deli. Does he miss D.C.? He's always good box office. Saddam or a Jacko? Why he's a happy man? Larry on death. And then at some point, and Rob, I lose the bet. I lose the bet.
I was in South Africa.
I said I would be able to keep this in my pants before we were halfway through the show. I can't.
What?
I just want to tell you, we have now, from this Larry King interview, we've been working on it all day today.
the Larry King soundboard. We're going to be calling phone whores today.
Right.
You would not believe. Now, these are not on cartridges. These are loaded into the digital unit.
Uh-huh. Right.
So, for instance, Mike, you be the phone whore.
Hi, baby.
Hello.
Who's this?
I'm Larry.
Larry, how are you, Larry?
Okay.
What do you want to talk about, baby?
I don't know.
Oh, come on, baby.
I don't know. That's my three words. I don't know.
You have only three words, baby. You want to have fun?
I still at times, right before I fall asleep, wonder if I'm going to get up.
Yeah.
That's okay, baby. Anything else for me, baby?
I want to see it all.
You want to see it all? What do you want to see, baby?
And I'll beat you.
Did you say you'd beat me?
And I'll beat you.
Who's this?
Yes. I'm Larry of the Corner.
Excellent.
So many. What really turns Larry on?
Oh, boy.
Oh, boy. Wow. Now, hold on. Did you just say that? Let me just reiterate. What turns you on?
Oh, boy.
Oh, Larry.
Basically, my style is one of utter... Oh, boy.
Oh, wow. I'm Larry. I'm
We've got like 56 of these things
cool. Larry.
That are so great.
The only thing I worry about is dying.
Larry. Larry of the Corner.
Do I think we do too much? I'm Larry of the Corner. Okay.
Larry King.
Larry, do you like this?
No.
Do you ever like it?
Sometimes not.
Would you like it if we stopped this?
Probably yes.
What does Dennis Murphy say all the time on this show?
Unbelievable.
Hey, right now, touch yourself.
I pinch myself more. I can't. Whoever thought I'd get.
What happens when you do that?
That hurt. Fact of life.
Yeah, but it was funny.
It was funny.
It was funny. Let me ask you another question, Larry. sex besides Sean.
I would rather do Saddam Hussein, but who would?
Okay. Larry, I had no idea.
I guess what's the nature of the beast, Larry?
The nature of the beast.
Yeah. Where are you at?
New York.
Oh,
my hometown, New York.
And what are you doing there?
I'm lying in bed. There's a minister over there. People are all gathering around the bed.
What are you thinking about again?
A boy.
Wow. And what do you think about the boy?
A boy.
What else do you think about?
What wigs me out the most?
What?
Is how fat I was.
Oh, okay. So when you're with a boy.
A boy.
You say.
Okay, let's do it this way.
You can see.
Oh, God.
I told Rob I was lucky. It's a good thing I had that fight with Frida.
Right.
I would have come on right at 3 o'clock.
Sure.
Hello. 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 I'm Larry of the Corner.
Yeah, the Larry laughing. The Larry laughing.
A variety of laughs.
These are great.
How was that, Larry?
That hurt.
Oh, that hurt.
That hurt. Fact of life.
What would you say to me after my discussions about Frida?
Good luck.
Oh, thank you. Thank you.
Good luck.
Weren't you divorced 7 times?
No.
Oh, come on, Larry. Really, 7?
Probably, yes.
Okay. Okay?
Okay.
Okay.
That's funny, Larry.
Who are you? Oh, Larry. Oh, no.
That's my favorite right there.
No contest.
What turns him on again?
And I read the obituaries every day. Look.
What turns him on?
Oh, boy. Me and the wife and the two kids. Come on. Forget it.
Wow.
So we'll hear the rest of this stuff with the actual quotes from
Larry.
From Larry, because he's so Larry. And, you know, we always thought it was, I'm Larry from the Corner.
Larry from the Corner. No, it's bigger than that.
I'm Larry of the Corner.
I'm Larry of the Corner.
I changed it.
I'm Larry of the Corner.
Isn't that great?
And that's, you know, maybe we're on, because that's the old interview, so mm-hmm. That's what he's always been, right?
And did you ever know Sandy Koufax?
Nope.
Okay. Uh-huh. All right.
So you lied about that, Larry?
You lied about that, Larry?
Probably, yes.
That's the best one. We'll be right back, everybody.
This is the Don and Mike Show.
False
Christchurch, Virginia. Hello.
Hi, Larry. There's a couple guys here in Washington, Don and Mike, who play a tape of you getting asked about journalism by somebody, and you think he's talking about medical school. Do you remember that?
No.
Do you ever listen? Have you ever heard Don and Mike?
I never get to hear them. They were on the morning. They were on the afternoon. I never get to hear them. We took over their show one day. I went, in fact, the day before the heart attack, we went and took over their program one morning and totally destroyed them. But you could doctor tape.
The Don and Mike Show.
You can call Don and Mike anytime from anywhere in America. 877-365-3636. They're ready to believe you.
Uh-oh. Sounds like somebody's got a case of the Mondays.
They are the Dean's Peanuts. Don Geronimo and Mike O'Mara.
Right on the Westwood One Network. Here's a station break. San Francisco, KYCY. Oh, the station showed up in the ratings last month.
Yay.
I should mention that.
Yay, that is good news.
Yeah. Let's have a party. Portland, Oregon.
No.
Max. 910. Fresno, California.
Really?
That's new affiliate. KKDG 105.9 and Bakersfield, California, KGEO. So many more Larry tapes to get to.
Right.
Before we even think about calling the phone whores.
Right.
With the page of Larry stuff. Here's more Larry. Hold on.
Then we had a wedding party in November, which we repeated the ceremony.
Uh-huh. And your best man
was Ted Turner.
And your flower girl
was Jane Fonda.
What's the matter? And your poet.
Hey, Mike Wallace.
No, Mike Wallace has got an issue with his throat.
Oh, really?
But I urge you to just take Mike Wallace out of it.
Okay.
Because we're going to get to the part, you have to hear who the poet was.
Okay.
At Larry King's wedding.
Good.
Okay, let's listen again now.
Then we had a wedding party.
The wedding party.
In November, which we repeated the ceremony.
And your best man
was Ted Turner.
Okay, so the best man is Ted Turner.
And your flower girl
was Jane Fonda.
Okay, so the flower girl is Jane Fonda.
Okay.
Who do you think the poet was? I'll tell you this.
All right.
One of the greatest actors of our generation, meaning you and me, you know, in that elusive 25.
Oh, I think I know who it was. It was Al Pacino.
Yep, you got that right.
Right.
And your poet
was Al Pacino. It was not a bad witness. And Saturday Night Live did a whole shtick on it.
You got to run that back for a second, Rob.
But it's so what Larry's all about.
You got to listen to the way he just glosses over it. It's not a bad wedding.
It's who you know.
It's who you know.
Mm-hmm. And your poet
was Al Pacino. It was not a bad witness. And Saturday Night Live did a whole shtick on it, having guys playing all of us.
I just want to say how thrilled I am to have finally found the man of my dreams. A 63-year-old balding Jew who's been married 8 times.
You just married Larry King. What the hell are you thinking?
Larry, why are you getting married anyway? Has any woman ever removed these suspenders, trembling in anticipation?
It was funny. But it was a great wedding party, and it was a celebration of health, too.
Shut up!
Hey, how about...
Celebration of health, yeah.
How about the age difference?
Yeah. Ah, very good. I'll be interested in this.
Wasn't she a trifle skeptical about marrying him?
Larry is a great romantic.
But he'd been married over and over and over again.
There I had a little resistance from the family and friends at first.
Huh. The marriage works partially, I think, due to the age difference. That's why it works in this case.
What is the age difference?
26 years.
26 years.
You're 70, so you're...
You know, thanks a lot.
That age difference is something Larry admits can sometimes be tough for him to handle.
I'm walking in New York, my hometown, New York.
Shut up!
Me and the wife and the two kids. And a guy walks by.
Shut up!
And he looks at me and says, "Hey, Larry King. Beautiful grandchildren. Great looking daughter." That hurt. Fact of life.
No.
Shut up!
Right.
and a guy walks by. It goes, incidentally, those don't. I don't believe any of that ever happened.
No, it goes on and on and on.
When Sean says he's a great romantic, remember how he romanced her with maraschino cherries.
Lynn, I don't remember that.
Oh, because it was like, I guess, 92 or so when he mailed her big Price Club jars of maraschino cherries because she liked them.
She likes
them. I want to give you one more of these. Is Larry on death now? Larry, where's the funeral music? We really need the dun 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 dun.
I'm Larry of the corner.
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 I'm Larry.
Just Larry?
I'm Larry of the corner.
Finally, I showed him one last clip from our original piece.
When you go to bed at night, alone, what do you worry about? The only thing I worry about is dying. What do you worry about? You're a boy. A boy. This universe has been around a long time, and it's going to be around a long time, and I'm here for a blip of it.
Shut up!
And I want to see it all.
And I would not change one iota of that answer.
Your face.
I still at times, right before I fall asleep, wonder if I'm going to get up.
Wow.
And,
wow.
I read the obituaries every day, look at the ages of the people that died.
That's crazy.
Don't know any person my age who doesn't do that, by the way.
It's true.
And since I'm agnostic, that is, I don't know if there's a God. Now, my wife believes we're going to go on.
Oh, she's a Mormon.
She's a Mormon.
You're retarded.
Right. I'm not an atheist. I don't know. That's my three words. I don't know.
It's not a rhetorical question. Are you retarded?
Woody Allen had the best line. It's not that I fear death. I just don't want to be there when it happens.
Shut up!
Larry.
Shut up!
Time running out.
Oh, Larry.
So that, you know, there's
Larry of the corner. And, you know, what's funny is there's Mike Wallace interviewing Larry King, talking about how old he is. Mike Wallace is what, 90 years old now?
Yeah, so we say to Mike Wallace, as far as life and death goes.
Good luck.
Yeah, good. But you hear the narration. You hear the narration that Mike Wallace
good
does.
Luck.
And it sounds the same as it did 50 years ago.
Yeah,
it's amazing.
Okay.
Yeah, it is, Larry. Don't you think that's amazing?
Yes.
Thank you.
Sometimes not.
Well, who are you?
I'm Larry of the corner.
Oh, that's good. Do you worry about dying?
Yes.
Often?
Yes.
Really?
Okay.
Do you think you're an egomaniac?
Probably yes.
Oh, God.
You were not born. You were made in a toy factory.
That's good. Is that the Larry Santa Claus show?
That's from...
Talking to Cannon.
Talking to what's his name?
Cannon or Chance.
On the show?
Right, yeah, talking to one of his kids while watching Toy Story.
You were not born. You were made in a toy factory.
Okay, that'll mess the kid up.
That'll mess the kid up permanently.
And I'll beat you.
The thing about that toy factory thing is it's a nice sentiment, but the way he says it, it's scary.
Well, it's so scary. It's like when he was a kid.
You were not born. You were made in a toy factory.
Seriously, don't you think that kid's going, Dad, he's evil.
Terrifying. Yeah. Like Christmas.
Basically, my style is one of utter, it's almost, I don't want to say naivety. I'm curious.
I'm Larry of the Cohen.
Oh, boy. Oh, boy.
Larry.
I want to see it all. Oh, boy.
Yeah.
Wow. Oh, it's fun to have them all, isn't it?
Okay,
at your fingertips.
God damn.
I would rather do Saddam Hussein. Oh, boy.
Anyway. You can tell we'll have some fun with that. And you know, Robbie, we didn't even hear all of the cuts. We didn't even...
Well, there's some with his kids around? Is that...
Yeah. We didn't hear the one with Chance and Cannon. We didn't hear the one about when he's at the deli. We didn't hear if he misses D.C. Saddam versus Jacko. Who would
does
interview?
He miss D.C.? Since we're based in D.C., I'm curious about.
Right.
I'm curious.
Time for one more. Here we does he miss D.C.?
Yeah.
It's a happy world away from the serious power lunches he used to have at Duke Zebert's in Washington, D.C.
Do you miss Washington?
No.
You really don't?
I miss little things about Washington. I certainly miss the political talk.
Although he does many fewer political interviews today than when we first met.
Obviously.
Now he says that will change in this political year of 2024.
And the last time we went, there were two primaries.
We'll be at both conventions. We'll be trying to get every candidate.
And no doubt every candidate will be talking to Larry. He remains a magnet for powerful people who have...
Blah, blah, blah. It goes on.
Okay.
It goes on and on. What would you say to that, Larry?
It was funny.
Oh,
you
think so?
Thank you, Larry.
How about if I just kicked you in the nads?
That hurt.
Yeah.
Back to life.
Back to life.
life, Larry.
One more? Oh, you got one more?
I like this one.
Okay, is it a funny one?
It is. Okay, this is...
Chance and Cannon.
Okay.
About his sons, his...
Oh, boy.
The boys.
Larry has three grown children from previous marriages. But 4 years ago, he and Sean started yet another family. First came Chance, and a year later, Cannon.
I never thought I'd have children. When we were doing Talking in 92, to have children again, come on, forget it. But there's nothing like it.
Come on, Chance. Let's go. And every day, this father of two small boys...
Good daddy, huh?
...early in the morning, taking them to preschool.
Hi.
This is homework. The only time it hits you is like Friday is play day for fathers at preschool. That means I have to go in with the little one, Cannon, and do everything they do for an hour and a half. That means if they color, you color. If they fall on the floor, you fall on the floor. If they roll around the dirt, you roll around the dirt. Good luck. And I'm the oldest father there.
Give me five. That was great.
I'm the oldest person in a lot of places now. What did Mickey Mantle say? If I knew I'd live this long, I'd take better care of myself.
Right, Larry.
You were not born. You were made in a toy factory.
Wow. Can you imagine being in that preschool?
Larry comes walking in.
Nope.
Larry, can you imagine that happening?
Nope.
Just being in there. You were not born. You were made in a toy factory.
I want to see it all.
Right. I guarantee you the first time he went down on the floor to play with Chance, they called 911.
Unbelievable.
He's down. Oh, God, Larry, thank you.
I'm Larry of the corner.
Of course you are. Of
hello.
Hello, Larry.
Hello.
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 How are you? Who are you?
I was in South Africa, and I'm walking down the street, and a guy comes out of like a hut.
Who was it?
Oh, boy.
What'd you say to him?
Okay, let's do it this way.
That's what I thought. And overall, sexually?
Hands down, Michael Jackson.
Even more than?
Oh, boy.
Right, so you would take Michael Jackson over a boy?
Yes.
Okay.
Is there any Middle Eastern person you would like to have a special relationship with, Larry? Is there anybody?
I would rather do Saddam Hussein, but who would?
Yeah. Of course. Right.
Okay.
We understand, Larry.
I don't know. That's my three words. I don't know.
Oh, that's great.
I'm the oldest person in a lot of places now. I'm Larry of the corner.
He of the corner.
Oh, God.
Probably, yes.
Okay, thank you. That's Larry of the corner.
I love Larry.
So that's Larry.
That's the gold mine.
Who was that? Sophie B. Forgotten on the phone?
Those are her people.
Those are her people.
People?
Her
people?
Sophie B. Hawkins has people. Who
wonderful.
Listen, here's what I'm thinking about this. Oh, come on, Beth Ann. Don't be afraid. Pick up the phone. Here's what I'm thinking. First, if there's any way, go back and ask if we can play that Charles Mann tape. Just go ask.
Who, Cameron or...
Yeah, just ask anybody.
Right.
There was a tape of a broadcast, an NFL broadcast this weekend.
Uh-huh. Right.
With some really great energy.
Sure. Great timing.
That I wanted to share with you. Beth Ann McBride... If you get off the phone for a second, I want to talk to you. Let me see. As I mentioned, the basketball team, that might as well be the NBA.
Well, their second or third loss now?
Second loss. We've only lost, previously, we'd lost like two
games. Are we out of the medal running yet?
No, we're not. No, we're not. If we win all of our games, we're okay.
Mm-hmm.
But we got our asses kicked by Lithuania.
Lithuania, Labis, Joey.
If you care, the United States has the most medals. We have 57 medals right now. China is in second place. And I don't know a lot about this dude named Paul Hamm. Because I keep thinking,
gymnast?
Yeah, I keep thinking Mia Hamm. All I know is that he's the gymnast, and he won the gold medal.
And he came back, and he made a mistake, and they're saying that the other guy that he was against, they didn't give him the same starting points. So there's a major controversy, and the judges are in trouble. Right?
So now what they're saying is, well, they looked at the instant replay tapes, and that really the guy from North Korea, South Korea, I don't know. Either way, they say that, you know, this guy should get
Paul didn't win.
This guy should get the gold medal, and
I think the general feeling is our guy should say, well, you know, I'll be the bigger man. They screwed up. I'll take the silver. He gets the gold. No, here is the latest thing that this guy Paul Hamm said.
Okay.
I got this from SportsIllustrated.com today. Quote, this matter should never have come up. Reviewing videotape is not even in the rules. The rules can't be changed after the competition is over. I won the medal. Right now, I personally feel I shouldn't even be dealing with this crap.
Wow.
There you go.
USA. USA. And it's Korea now. It's not North or South Korea. It's one big
Korea.
That's right.
Simply Korea.
Crazy Korea.
Hold on a second, because...
They wear different jackets during the open ceremony.
Yeah, they do. Right, yeah. North and South do. And the other thing about the Olympics that I'm not watching, but I'm following, is the condom count. I think I told you that that they ordered 300,000 condoms.
Scary.
For the Olympic Village. Mm-hmm. And the reason they did that was because 4 years ago in Sydney...
If you inflated those, they could float the entire, Olympic Village.
They went through 90,000 in Sydney. So now they gave them 300,000 condoms.
Well, it's actually hotter in Greece.
For these athletes. Mike, I don't know if it's the heat, if it's the humidity, but how do you like this for an Olympic upset? They've only used 15,000 condoms thus far.
Really?
There are 285,000 condoms that remain unused in your Olympic Village.
You know what scares me about that statistic?
What?
That somebody's out there counting that.
Yeah, well.
That somebody's like going, oh, there's another one, and, how are they getting that statistic?
I guess someone's going through the candy dish every day.
I mean, that's a little, as far as, are they counting the ones that are picked up?
I would.
Or the ones that are discarded?
I don't think they're using subtraction.
Yeah, really.
Yeah.
And what else? John Lennon Nikes are coming. I read this over the weekend. This is
John Lennon Nikes?
Yes, Nike's making a special pair. Now they're doing this under the guise of charity.
Uh-huh.
I saw this is an ad that I saw during the Olympics. Under the guise of charity, all proceeds go to whatever charity.
Bush re-election campaign.
I'm not going to set off the alarm. Yeah, but
Lennon's for Bush, we heard.
Yeah, right. Anyway, if you have Abbey Road, John Lennon apparently has a pair of Nikes on the cover of Abbey Road.
Does he really?
All I remember is that Paul is barefoot, which was supposed to mean that he was dead.
Dead, right.
Nike is...
And they're all walking across that famous street, right.
Nike's announced that what they're going to do is put out these special John Lennon Nikes.
Is Abbey Road the one you spin backwards and it was like,
Very
Paul, right?
These shoes, now let me remember the commercial correctly, they'll have John Lennon's fake autograph on the heel of the shoe, and the lyrics to the song Imagine will be printed around the toe. This is really great.
I just don't think so.
That's all I wanted to say.
That's just not
good. I got time for a feel good. Just one feel good. And Mike, you'll like this because it's from Florida, down there by where you live, where the problems were.
For anybody that cares, good news on my sister's place too. They dodged a bullet down there.
Oh,
good. They're very, very lucky on Sanibel Island. I want to just mention that.
So the deal is that there was a prison down there, and in Clearwater by Tampa. Hurricane Charley, as you know, is bearing down on Tampa Bay as it turns out.
Beware!
Turns out it didn't hit Tampa Bay.
No.
Scared, Florida?
But here's what it is. Now I have to make sure. It's Pinellas County Jail.
Uh-huh.
Here's what they did. They got 256 guys in there.
Okay.
They said, there is a hurricane coming. You are all on your best behavior. Leave the jail and come back in 4 days.
How'd that work out?
That's would you like to know how it turned out?
Yeah, I would love to know the statistics.
There were 256 guys.
Right.
There were 229 that actually came back.
Wow.
27 of them got away. One of them was arrested the next day for trying to steal a car. So they found the guy and put him back in the hoosegab.
The rest of them are gone?
The rest of them, there's 26 of them that are still on the lam.
Fugitives.
Fugitives.
Our fugitive's name is Richard Kimball.
I mean, how dumb is that?
I know a hurricane is coming, but guys,
that what they worried about liability.
I don't. You say, guys, listen, go ahead, get 4 days. Mm-hmm. We'll see you back in 4 days.
Run for your lives,
Larry. Would you have gone back?
No,
no,
absolutely not.
And Larry, if you were in prison,
and I'll beat you.
Uh-huh. What would be the best thing about being in prison?
Oh, boy.
When you like the most?
I don't think there are any boys there.
I would rather do Saddam Hussein, but okay. Who would?
He's not in that jail, Larry. Right.
Who are you?
I'm Larry of the Corner.
Oh, okay. Thanks, Larry.
Good luck.
Good luck.
Okay, we'll be right back with Sophie B. Hawk.
This is the Don and Mike Show.
Mike Huey Lewis on the news. Their early work was a little too new wave for my taste. But when sports came out in 83, I think they really came into their own. Commercially and artistically.
The whole album has a clear, crisp sound and a new sheen of consummate professionalism that really give the songs a big boost.
He's been compared to Elvis Costello, but I think Huey has a far more bitter, cynical sense of humor.
In 87, Huey released this, 4, your most accomplished album. I think their undisputed masterpieces, Hip to Be Square. Song so catchy, most people probably don't listen to the lyrics. But they should, because it's not just about the pleasures of conformity and the importance of trends. It's also a personal statement about the band itself. Hey, Paul!
The number one radio show in Haiti.
Right, right.
The Don and Mike Show.
Tomorrow on the show, this is a good booking, VA. The guy Nick, the guy who won The Apprentice.
Who would be officially now working for Donald Trump.
Right, supposed to be... hey, Robbie, would you pick up 444? I bet it's Beth Ann's interview. this guy, Nick, won The Apprentice. The Apprentice is available tomorrow on DVD. Mm-hmm. We'll ask him how the job is going. That's a good booking. Hold on a second. Who's on the hotline? Hello?
Hey, hang on a second, Sophie. Donna might be with you in a sec, okay?
Oh, yeah, yeah. Okay. Tomorrow, Nick from The Apprentice. Wednesday, from UPN's The Player, one of the players. Hi, Beth Ann.
Hey.
Hi.
Nick didn't win, Bill did.
Pardon me?
Nick didn't win, Bill did.
Bill's
on September 2nd.
Who's Nick?
He's the one with the red hair.
I don't know.
I think they had a thing with Amy. It was on The Apprentice.
I hate it when I don't know reality shows. Yeah.
I used to. I forgot. If you show me their pictures, I'll remember.
So this is like a runner-up?
Yeah, he was like the final people. See, it comes out on...
So it's Omarosa, it was Bill and Nick.
And Amy.
Yeah,
and
no, Nick, I remember
Nick
now.
The guys that came up
right.
Short.
Okay, but either way, we'll talk to him tomorrow.
All right, so if not, I take it back what I said about him working for Donald Trump.
Right, no, and that's...
He's wishing he worked for Donald Trump.
That's what I thought as well, but he was a follow-up
guy. All are.
Yeah!
so today, Beth Ann McBride, who is... A very good producer.
Yes, she is.
Booked a guest that I frankly have nothing to say to. I don't want to be rude to this woman.
Right.
And I'm not putting this on the air now, so she's not hearing me say this.
Okay.
Sophie B. Hawkins could walk down the street and walk right up to me and say hello, and I'd go, hi.
But she's got quite a following.
I wouldn't know who she is. I guess she has a following.
Mm-hmm.
She's doing concerts all over America.
She's very, still very singing. Still singing.
She's
still
beautiful.
Mm-hmm. She is pretty.
But I ain't got anything to say to
right.
her. So now, ladies and gentlemen, because she booked it, get ready for the Beth Ann McBride Show.
Yay. We're going to lay back here.
Is Buzz going to do a little like...
Yeah. Hey, can I go down the hallway while this is going on? Can we literally leave the studio?
Yeah, you can be the audience. You can be me.
All right.
Yeah, you can go ahead if you'd like, Mike. I want to get...
All right, I'll do it after she starts.
I want to get some music here for Beth Ann's... Oh, for goodness sakes. Where is it? God, we got...
Do I have to talk to her long?
Just for a while.
Okay.
You know, to do the set.
Why don't you talk to her as long as you think the interview is... What are you doing to your teeth? Are you playing with your gum? Are you nervously playing with your gum? Mm-hmm. Why don't you do it as long as you think the interview is interesting?
Mm-hmm.
Don, what do you think about that call? What do you think about her doing the interview and keeping it going as long as she thinks it's interesting?
Well,
even though I'm going to laugh about that.
That's subjective.
And then we get to starting.
I got it. There we go. All right, it's time for the Beth Ann McBride Show on Westwood One. Sitting in for Don and Mike today is Beth Ann McBride. Buzz, that's all you got to say. I guess you could give her an intro, something along the lines of a now shock talk from a female perspective.
Okay.
Sitting in for Don and Mike today, please welcome Beth Ann McBride.
All right, very good.
All right, Mike, I'm going to turn our microphones off.
Very good.
All right, so Bea, you're on number four. And I'm going to, as soon as I push this, Sophie B. Hawkins hears us. And Buzz, you ready with the intro?
Ready.
Here we go.
Live from the Westwood One Radio Network, it's time for Shock Talk from a Female Perspective. Sitting in today for Don and Mike, it's Beth Ann McBride. Now, here's B.A.
Thank you, Buzz. Welcome, everybody, to the Beth Ann McBride Show. Shock Jock Female Perspective. And I'm so excited to have on the show today. You think she hasn't been doing anything since 1992, when in fact, Sophie B. Hawkins has been working very, very hard. And we have her on the phone right now. She's on tour. She was in Pittsburgh, I believe, last night. We'd like to welcome her to the show.
Hi, B.A.
Hi, Sophie. How are you?
I'm actually wonderful.
How was Pittsburgh?
Pittsburgh was actually, it's a great town. It's very historical. I never saw the allure till this time. I've been there a lot.
Yeah, well, you went to Cleveland, though, too, didn't you?
I've been everywhere, yeah.
Yeah.
And I've not only been here for my own gigs in the beginning of the summer, then I opened for Chris Isaak, now I'm opening for The Chorus, so I'm basically hitting these places three and four times this summer.
Are they welcoming you like they did back in the 90s, in the early 90s?
Sure. Yeah, I'd say a lot. But, you know, I've had...
A wrong sound effect.
Definitely, since 92, you make it sound like I haven't done anything. As Lay Me Down was from 94 to 96.
Mm-hmm. Well, you know, I do like a shock kind of show. And really, I mean, to the average person, really, you know, you were just all over the radio in 92, 93, 94. And, you know, you were on the Grammys and you did all those shows. And it's like you kind of like fell off the face of the earth. And, you know, people want to know what you've been doing ever since.
A lot of people do know what I've been doing because I've had four records out. This is my fourth. I left Sony. I got my masters back. I re-released on my own label. This is the second album, and I've been on lots of TV.
Come on, forget it.
And I've had singles on the radio as well.
Right, and now, so you went back to school and you got your master's and stuff like that, and really, like, sort of the buzz when you first came out, you know, you were...
I went back to school to get my master's?
Your master's, yeah. Well, you went, you know, you go back to school. You know, you go. Were you in school the whole time? Were you in school the whole time that you were?
I went back to school.
Masters of her recordings.
Oh, sorry. I'm so glad that my producer Mike here. Thank you so much. Sometimes they guide me. You got a lot of people coming in and out of the studio, much like when you're on stage. You know what I mean, Sophie?
Right.
So,
I know. I keep hearing these weird noises. No, I never went back to school. I've been recording and doing stuff ever since.
Yeah, good.
Yep. Well, thank you so much.
Masters of the recording.
And you know, a lot of people. You know, there was a question, Sophie, if I may ask.
She's such
when you
a
first
bad
came
guess.
Out about your sexuality. You know, there was like for some reason that was like everybody wondered.
I'm curious. I want
if you were gay or not. And I've like read some of the things, and you actually admit to being asexual.
No, I've never said that word in my life.
Never? Oh.
Nope.
Wow.
I said omnisexual.
Omnisexual.
The opposite of asexual.
Oh.
So omni means I'm not defined as gay or straight. I've been happily with men in long relationships and with a few women. And I'm very clear on that.
All right. That's
bisexual,
interesting.
Because it seems like I can't make up my mind. But omnisexual covers it because I'm...
You love all.
Well, I love who I'm with.
You love who you're with, and you're with a woman right now, are you?
No.
You're not?
Wait.
You know, I often ponder this. What is too much?
So, like, have you had a chance to see The Exorcist yet? The new one that's out?
God, Beth.
No.
I mean, I don't know when you're touring, you know, because you're on the road, you're talking to people, you're going to the venue, you're in the hotels.
Congratulations on it.
Yeah, I haven't had a chance to see it.
Train wreck segment.
So the new CD is called Wilderness.
Yes.
Okay.
That you got right.
That
you got right.
Yes. Again, it's a shock sort of stream of conscious kind of radio program, but we really do appreciate you being on.
I know it's a stream, but I don't know where the conscience is yet.
Well, sometimes I hear little voices in my head.
Okay.
It keeps me focused from being focused on you. Well, Sophie, we really have enjoyed you being on the show today.
It's not a rhetorical question. Are you retarded?
And wish you luck with the tour, and, you know, good luck with the new CD, and take care. And as always, you're always a welcome guest on the Don and Mike Show. Maybe next time when you come back, they'll be available.
Okay, great.
Thank you, Sophie.
Thank you, B.A.
Take care.
Oh, she hung up.
Live from the Westwood One Radio Network, you've been listening to Shock Talk from a female perspective. Sitting in today for Don and Mike, engineer B.A. McBride.
That was awful.
I like the part where you thought she went back and got her master's degree.
I can't hear. He's playing all these things.
Oh, yeah, you can't hear.
Yeah, well, and of course, Sophie hung up.
Hey, I had one moment
when she got into the whole omnisexual thing.
Yeah.
I'm like, well, that's okay.
Uh-huh. That was,
but then, you know.
Not a great booking.
No.
But thank you for coming in here and taking your lumps like a man.
Way to go, B.A.
Thanks.
Yeah, a little on-the-job training, right?
I'm like sweating. I go, okay, Rob, I'll ask her. Have you seen the New Exorcist movie?
That was Rob's question. Yeah. Have you seen The Exorcist?
I bet she would have.
Wow.
Yeah, Rob. He's a bad. Listen to that interview.
That's a bad booking, but thank you anyway.
How long did it last?
You made the most of it. About 3 hours.
Good job.
It felt like it.
No, I'm kidding. It wasn't.
Wow.
It wasn't 3 hours, Larry.
Wow. Oh, man. I don't want it to be his first surgery.
Nope.
Nope. No, I don't.
Okay.
Okay.
Art of interviewing is listening.
I'm Larry of the Corner.
So I got my master recordings back.
I don't know. That's my three words. I don't know.
What are you going for your PhD?
That hurt. Back to life.
Wow. Larry, you were not born. You were made in a toy factory.
Don't scare me. Don't scare me anymore, Larry.
The nature of the beast.
Yes, you.
This universe has been around a long time.
Right.
And it's going to be around a long time. And I'm here for a blip of it.
A blip of it. Did you do it from them?
Oh, boy.
A boy.
A boy.
Larry.
I'm curious. A boy.
Oh. Anyway, that's Sophie B. Hawkins. Sophie B. Hawkins, right. Okay.
Very good.
Hawkins. Pardon me?
She's great. Hawkins.
Tom, was that a little on-the-job training for B.A. there?
I think so.
I think sometimes if you let somebody walk in our shoes.
I tried to mention to her last week, you know, honey.
Honey.
I went back there actually quite pompous when we had that guy Dr. Ray on from the E! Entertainment Channel.
Yes, he was a good booking.
Yeah. I went back there and said, look what we can do when you give us somebody that's even remotely interesting.
Right, right.
Look, that was a great segment. And then I said to her way back on Thursday, I don't feel good about this Sophie B. Hawkins booking.
Well, it's very frustrating to talk to performers that had one hit that haven't had it in 14 years.
Yeah. And seems to me, you know, here's the other clue. That
I'm sure she's very nice.
I'm positive she's good looking because she had tons of attitude still for a girl that only had one hit record, right?
Well, I saw the picture of her. She's hot. Not a lot to ask her, really.
What was that, Buzz?
There's not a lot to ask her, really. Well, now, frankly, when we got on the omnisexual thing, well, I think you and I could have done about an hour on that.
Hey, but keep in mind, she only had one more hit record than you got.
clear the lines now.
Wigs me out the most.
What?
Is how fat I was.
Hold on, I gotta switch the machine back over. Hold on. Bank select.
Hit stop.
Stop.
Oh, hold on.
Bank select.
Don't
do anything?
Yeah, I think we might.
What are you doing?
We might have to do some reprogramming.
Up, here we go. And. There you go. Phone scan right here, right now.
Yeah. There it is.
877-365-3636. Be the 100th caller. I'm sorry. Turn it on. I got too many things going on now. Be any number caller.
We're having a phone scan. We're going to talk to people that are calling in.
877-365-3636.
And you know why that is?
Why?
Because we're curious.
Hold on. See, now I got to switch back.
Sometimes we just want to say, why?
I'm curious. I want to know why.
Okay, call us now. Your unscreen calls on any topic.
Why was I born?
This would be...
You got to be kidding me.
This would be a good topic. Why did you book Sophie B. Hawkins on the show, Beth Ann McBride?
Well, but I love the lesson.
I pinch myself more. I can't. Whoever thought I'd get.
I love the lesson.
We will be back with your calls.
As so does B.A.
This is the Don and Mike Show.
Oh, hi.
Hi there. How are you, everybody?
The phones work, Robbie. Just leave them like that. You know, it seems like most technology Funny, we're talking about technology here in the studio where nothing works.
Technology has actually made our lives more complicated.
All these great ideas and inventions come out, but you have to have a master's in cleric in electrical engineering, or be a cleric, a Muslim cleric, to turn any of them on, let alone get them ready to do what they're supposed to, just to write it. More words, guys. More words in it.
I thought you were talking about getting a master's degree, Mike.
No, those are my master recordings that I'm going to re-release.
Listen, this commercial is for OnStar, and OnStar personal calling, available now on more than 50 GM models, from Saturns to Cadillacs.
It's a hands-free, voice-activated cell phone that's built into your car and plays through the speakers. I was talking to my mommy on it over the weekend.
You get a 100-minute package, good for 12 months, for just $39.99. For information about OnStar, please go to their erotic website at OnStar.com or swing by your local dealer for a demo.
Swing by.
Erotic.
This is the Don and Mike Show.
And the sale ends this Friday.
I always watch the Jerry Todd Show.
Jerry Todd.
How are you? We're going to check traffic in and around town right now, so let's go upstairs and see what's happening. Okay, thanks. We'll catch you a little later on. I wouldn't worry too much. I don't think the traffic is too bad out there. Anywho, meantime, on the Jerry Todd Show, that's all the time we've got. I want to thank you for being with me this morning. Hope you've enjoyed the program. I know I have. Had lots of fun. Hope you have had too. Come back again. Join me for the Jerry Todd Show next time. Meantime, we've got more video for you. This time from the Grammy winner himself, Christopher Cross. And a song that I'm just crazy about. Wait till you see the video. It's called Ride Like the Wind. Thanks for being with us. Bye-bye. Take care. See you next time. So long.
Like the Girl Scouts, they have changed. Don and Mike.
Before we get to the phone scan, Mike,
I just had to ask you one thing real quick on that last piece of tape.
Yeah.
Where he's being Jerry Todd.
Yeah.
As a disc jockey growing up, did you ever have those intros when you started out? The ones where you'd have so much time to fill, and you just were at it. You were going to tight cue it, but you had to add the verbiage like
sure,
you
yeah,
did.
Sure, yeah, of course.
That I was thinking just that. I mean, suddenly I realized that bit that he does, he has to have been a DJ at some point.
Yeah. Yeah.
Because that is only that. That's
let's
really
go
funny
now to the gigantic, sometimes empty head of Rob, who I'm sure knows about Rick Moranis in radio.
Rick Moranis got his start as a DJ, I think, with CBC.
Oh, that's just so funny, especially with that ride like the wind.
I mean, is there anybody that could ever do a bit that is so true to that genre?
Absolutely.
That?
Anywho.
Bye-bye. Take care.
Phone scan right here, right now. 877-365-3636. On-screen calls about anything. Let's do a station break. Wow. That's it. Wow FM.
Wow.
KBGG. Des Moines, Iowa. Salt Lake City. The Big 700. K-A-L-L.
Hey.
Olean, New York. WEAN and Baltimore. WXYV. The Mighty Live 105.7 FM. Here we go with a phone scan. Hello there. Don and Mike Show phone scan. Hello.
How are you anyway?
Hey, Don and Mike. How's it going?
We're Don and Mike of the corner.
How's it going, guys? Going good?
Now, what are you doing? There's noise. You're distracted.
You're multitasking. What's happening?
Come on. What's happening? Focus, focus, focus.
I am just totally immersed in the thought of if BA is wearing a thong or not. I need to know. I can't concentrate.
Immersed in the thong.
More of the BA thong or not.
I think that's the word that was used.
Yes.
That's the new word added to your new Random House dictionary.
Immense.
I was immersed in the thong.
Hello, Don and Mike Show. Hello. Hello, phone scan. Hi, Don and Mike Show. Wow, what's happening here?
That's cool.
Echo, 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 echo.
That's what we call a super
connection. Hello?
Well, dear. We're having problems.
I don't know. Hi, Don and Mike show.
Hey, buddies.
Hey, hi. You're on the air.
Hey, I want to invite you all to Duke Zebus after the show.
We used to go there. That place no longer exists. It's now, I think it's Morton's Steakhouse.
That used to be a big Larry King hangout.
And we would play with Larry King there quite often. Weren't we there on perhaps a weekend lunch day for some business thing we had or something going on downtown where they were setting up?
They were
for one of his other weddings.
We arrived very early on a Saturday morning. You're right.
Like 11 o'clock.
You're right.
They were just starting to serve lunch.
This is a very famous restaurant back in the day in D.C. called Duke Zebra's. Right. Downtown. Big power restaurant. Jack can't cook the owner. The Redskins used to hang out there. The Redskins Super Bowl trophies used to be on display in this restaurant.
Wow. It's still a hang with the new owners that they have now. The last guys I saw in there were Ben Bradley, he of the Watergate,
Washington Post, right?
Mm-hmm. And Art Buckwall, the famous columnist.
What are they doing, having a contest to see who's going to die first?
Well, you know, honest to God, let me tell you something. It was, Ben Bradley looked okay, but Art, I'm not sure.
Does Buckwall have a bib on?
It was
ordering a lobster, though.
Kind of sad. Anyway, yeah, you're right. We were there, and
and it wasn't Sean Southwick, right?
Was it Julie?
I think it was Julie.
Julie, the one that he would talk to?
Yeah.
Julie.
And they were setting up, and, you know, it was all we could do not to go in there and start, you know, writing things on the place cards.
Hello, Don and Mike show. Phone scam. Hello?
Don?
Yes, Don and Mike. Hi. Okay, listen.
Oh, God. I finally got through to you.
What?
I finally got through to you.
Yeah, how do you enjoy it?
Yeah, and you're screwing it up. You're screwing it up, dude.
No, I'm here to compliment you.
But you need to get a better cell phone connection. Don't you look at the bars?
Bars.
Look at the bars.
What can we do for you? Last chance. What can we do for you?
I just called to compliment you. You, Ben, are my heroes. Thank you for what you do.
That's nice. Pound sand. Get a better phone. Hello, Don and Mike show.
Hey, Don. Got a question for you.
Yeah, hey, buddy.
Hey, has your wife been watching White Men Can't Jump lately?
I don't know why. Why is that?
Well, do you remember when Rosie Perez wanted Woody Harrelson, when she was thirsty, not to bring her a glass of water, but to understand and empathize with her dry-mouthedness?
You know what? I didn't know where you're going with that, but I'm with you, my friend.
Sounds like the whole chicken discussion.
Don't you understand?
Thank you.
Rosie Perez? I don't get much of a chance to do it.
Thank you.
Do you understand? My mouth is dry.
Hello, Don and Mike show. Hello?
Don, why can't people understand when they're on the air?
This is the Don and Mike radio show. Hello.
Football season's here. Head of the can of beer.
It's a bad cell phone, but he was saying football season merits a can of beer.
I agree. I think more than a can.
Yes.
I feel like that bear up in California, 30 cans of beer.
Absolutely. And then they lure you into a tube.
Hello, Don and Mike show.
Hey, Dynamite.
Yeah, hi. Turn that radio down, please.
Oh, okay, sorry. Hey, I was just wondering, what's up with that new show, Wife Swap? Isn't that the same as Trading Spouses?
What network is Wife Swap on?
It's supposed to be on ABC.
Right. Has it even debuted yet?
No, not for a while. And, yes, you, my friend, you are one astute, media-savvy Don and Mike listener.
It's called Wife Swap?
Yeah,
I thought it was Wife Slap. I'm not going to watch that.
That's the one Rob wrote for cable.
Hello. Don and Mike show. Hello.
It's a game show.
Hey, Don.
Yes, hi.
Hey, man, I'm sorry you got to live with Carmella, the greedy snob wife you have.
Wow, boys, people are commiserating with you today.
Now, listen.
They feel your
Carmella.
Listen, my wife ain't Carmella, and I ain't Tony. Because my money's not out in the bird feeder.
Yet.
Yeah. Hey, Buzz.
Sorry.
Very brave with the yet comments. Yeah.
Have we had the discussion, if you were, and obviously you would be Tony Soprano, who we would all be on the show, what roles we would have?
I don't think we've gotten into that, but I do know this.
Uh-huh.
Buzz?
Yes?
How you doing, Junior?
I know who I would be.
Who?
I'd be Sil.
Hello. Yeah. Yeah, very right. Sil. Very, very true. And I guess Rob, you'd be Paulie Walnut.
How come you never come to see me, T?
Hello, Don and Mike show. Hello?
Hello?
I guess B.A. could be Janice.
Baby.
I'm sorry.
She's the only woman on the show.
Like a sister to you.
Well, Frida would be Carmella, because obviously she's married to Tony.
Uh-huh.
And is B.A. like a sister to you? But she doesn't have that level. She doesn't have that level of evilness.
Oh, I think it's there.
It's there? You think it's below the surface?
I feel like the first or second season, she could be Mother Soprano.
And I think Joe would be AJ.
Hello, Don. Hello. Hey. You're on the air. Are you there? Come on. Hey, hello.
Hello?
What is the problem? Here you go. 5 minutes we're waiting for you. Literally, what can we do for you? This better be an important call. This better be an important phone call.
Mike?
Mike is here. What can we do for you?
Oh, big fan of Mike. I just want to know if he had any of his kick-ass videos left.
There you go. That was really worth waiting.
That was really worth the goddamn wait.
That was worth waiting. Listen, what town does your mom live in?
I went through Whoreville and saw yours.
And now he's... Do you realize how long it took for you to even say what you had to say on the show?
What's wrong with that?
No, seriously. I'm saying we open the phone, we say, Don and Mike show...
And you sit there in silence.
What are you doing? Are you grinning? Are you figuring out that you're on the air? What is the thought process? I'm just curious.
Yeah, it kind of sounds like every call that you're on the air.
What do you mean it kind of sounds like every call?
There's no difference.
I'm sorry, I'm making an executive decision. I don't make a lot of executive. I believe, Joe, I don't know what you can do, but something has to be said differently.
No.
There has to be a different instruction given.
Mike, here's the thing.
Nothing
is said, though, because these are unscreened.
Oh.
These are unscreened.
But what about the screen ones? Do they ever have a problem or what?
No. The problem.
What can we say? What I don't understand the breakdown. It's happening It's happening more and more and more.
Hi, Joe.
Welcome to my world. This is how they are all day long.
Is there anything we can say to them to make it more understandable?
No.
That there's some sort of clicking or grunting.
A good caller. The other callers call with their radios wide open,
right.
Their windows wide open.
Did you just say welcome to my world, Joe?
Yes.
Welcome to my world.
That's a blast from the past.
Won't you come on in?
Won't you come on in? But they are on screen. I just
humor me for 1 second.
Yes.
If we were to say one thing on the air to these unscreened callers to indicate to them, how are you going to know that you're on the air? What will it sound like?
Huh?
It's the whooshing sound we talked about before.
You talking to me, Mike?
No, I'm talking to this idiot.
Still on the telephone.
And of course you don't.
And now he hears perfect.
Now he's here.
Now he hears everything.
That's because after...
That's a valid question. What will we tell the unscreened callers that are calling in? Because it's 80% of people that are sitting there going... And it's a few people that get it that know they're on the air. What is the sound when Don presses that button?
Mike is getting mad.
We've been
through this before.
They never say it.
They hear.
Is that the sound?
That's right.
Is that what you heard, sir, when Don pressed the button?
I didn't hear anything. It's like the same one. Like you say,
I'm sorry, you're not the right person to ask.
What do you mean it's the same one?
There might be a problem because I don't think there's a sound on the digital lines. Now that we have that digital phone system.
Well,
the old phones, it used to be...
But still, before everybody just... This is like the Bush and Kerry thing.
But you immediately hear our voices.
Yes, so when we say Don and Mike show...
How's it like the Bush and Kerry thing?
Because we're arguing again now.
Why are we arguing?
And I think we're on the same side.
Yeah, we are on the same. I'm not arguing with it.
The problem is, how do I say this politely?
They're idiots?
Yeah, like this guy, he's an idiot. Because regardless if he hears a whoosh or a click, mm-hmm. by the fifth time we say, Don and Mike show, you're on the air.
Right.
Really, if you can't figure it out, you're like retarded.
Do you not agree that every now and then we just got to stop and just really just say, hey, please try to pay attention if you're calling.
I think they're trying.
I offer this suggestion.
What's that?
Anytime through the phone they hear anyone say hello, just start talking.
Right.
And if there's no reply, stop.
I agree.
And get ready to start
thank
again.
You, Rob.
And
thank you.
Well said. Meanwhile, you're still on the line.
Yeah.
You're still on the line. You're like the worst caller I've ever heard on any radio show.
That's something.
All right, hang up, please.
All right.
Bye, then.
All right, good.
Whoreville. Mm-hmm. Whoreville.
That's right. If you hear voices talking, you just start talking.
Just start talking.
Don and Mike show.
Hello.
Hello, you're on the air. See how easy that is?
I heard you guys perfectly. There was no disconnection there.
Very good.
Of course not. Hi.
I just wanted to ask you, you know, on Friday, John Kerry was there. He was giving out a whole bunch of purple hearts. I want to know if I can get one.
Yeah, I think he's got some left over, but they're not real ones. They're made out of candy.
Hello, Don and Mike show. They are scrumptious, though.
So they're great.
They're like those Valentine's
Day like sweet hearts.
Yeah.
They're very powerful.
What do they call those things?
Conversation hearts. They don't say be mine. They say Swift Boat.
Yeah. Don and Mike show. Hello there.
Hello.
Hi, you're on the air.
Hi, how are you today?
Thank you for understanding this basic elementary human conversation we're having.
Working better already.
I'm so excited. This is awesome.
That's wonderful. What can we do for you?
Right about that.
I'm calling from Salisbury or Ocean City, because who knows where Salisbury is, unless you're from Maryland.
Yes, yes.
No, actually, I would just like to make a suggestion that I'm so happy I got through. Mike, I think that would be great if you opened a place down at the beach. Have you thought about it?
Yes, I've been approached by so many people.
Thanks.
And
look around, Cafe.
And, you know, we're actually exploring several markets right now.
God.
Thanks. Look around, Cafe.
This man is lying.
Yeah. And by the way,
DJ Batman.
What's that? Yeah, DJ Batman.
God, no.
And
he's the worst.
And Hitman McKay and I have actually thought about.
And don't forget about the Stallion.
The Stallion.
Actually, I take that back. He might be the worst. And I wanted to just make a preemptive strike in case my phone call disappointed you. That my mother is from Moorville, and I visit her frequently.
There you go. Bravo, nice call.
What a nice girl you are.
You endeared yourself to everybody.
Thank you. Goodbye, honey.
Goodbye.
See you later. What a nice lady she was.
She was so sweet.
Hello, Don and Mike Show.
Don and Mike Radio. God, this is Ocean City's number one sports guru, the Stallion.
Okay. Hello.
Two in a row.
Don and Mike Show. Hello.
Hello.
Hi, you're on the air.
Great. Hello, Don and Mike Radio God. This is Dev, and I'm calling from Western New York.
I almost thought it was a fag.
No.
I thought you were a man of homosexual persuasion.
No,
perhaps,
no. She's calling from upstate New York. Western
how you
York.
Doing, FB?
I need to know. My brother just moved to Florida.
Yes, FB.
You're on in Tampa?
Tampa Bay, right. 10:10 a.m.
10:10 a.m.
That's it.
Okay.
All right, thank
I need
you.
To know so I can tell him to listen to you guys.
Thank you, darling.
Now you
I need
know.
To know
Goodbye.
Something. Lady,
what?
What's
yeah.
for dinner tonight?
What, Robbie?
What's for dinner tonight, ma'am?
Nothing. I don't want to cook.
Bye, honey.
Bye.
Thank
Cookie
you
for dough for FB.
Hello, Don and Mike. Now, how do you know she was a fat bitch?
No, Fat Dev.
Don.
Oh, yeah,
you should be ashamed of yourself.
I'm
awful.
Sure
she was very nice.
So you were just calling her fat whatever
just
her
first
name
was. Just like FR. Right. Fat Ray.
Don't you remember? Yeah, but I thought
it was Fat Bev.
Didn't realize I didn't even pay attention to her name.
Yeah, well, I've never met a Bev that looked like Ally McBeal.
Hello, Don and Mike Show. Hello, phone scan.
No,
okay, there's a problem caller here.
That's a shame. After all that, I thought maybe we'd be free of it.
Hello? See, the guy's listening to the radio.
Yeah, he's listening to the radio.
Doesn't have a Hello, clue. Stupidest person listening to the show today. Dumbest guy. Calling from area code 410.
He's actually laid down the phone and walked away.
First three digits of your phone number are 687, so you know I'm talking to you. Really, really dumb guy. Really, really dumb guy who just now is here. Boy, how much delay have they added?
This is
last Friday's show.
From last week, right.
Yeah. Of course, you do have to account for that other possibility. Prankster. Prankster.
Not a good prank, though.
No, not at all.
Or is it?
Rob.
Hello there. This is the Don and Mike Show. Hello. Hello.
Don, Mike.
Yeah. Hi.
Hey, Don, you still smoking Opus X cigars?
As much as I can, sir.
Hey, have you ever tried the Ashton VSG?
I love the Ashton VSG. I like anything that comes out of the Fuente factory, but the Ashton VSG is my second go-to smoke.
And do not be shy. Do not be shy. Share with the listening audience that Carlos Fuente is a close personal friend.
He is. Carlos Fuente is a great guy.
Absolutely.
Don Mancho. I don't think he talks like that.
Tony?
Hello, Don and Mike Show.
Donnie.
Yes.
Hello, this is your daddy of the corner, and I'm curious. Where's my Cadillac?
Hello, Don and Mike Show.
Don and Mike?
Yeah, hi.
I wanted to talk to BA.
Yeah, she's in the other room. What can we do for you?
Well, she mentioned during her interview that she was kind of sweaty. Which immensed me in the thought. Is she wearing a thong?
Immensed me in the thought.
He's immensed also.
Oh, yeah, he's immensed. Okay. Hello, Don and Mike Show. Hello?
that really, I say to you, even though this is a really bad segment we're doing, what other show out there has the balls just to put you, you the regular people on? No fancy screeners, no agenda, no talking about politics or the weather.
We're just right here, and you're there, and we're together. It's
Hello.
Great.
Don and Mike show.
Hello.
Hello.
Hi.
About the, when you're calling in, there is a definite change in the volume and tone when you guys hit the button on
the line.
Thank
you, sir. Right. That's nice. You. That's informative.
A good clue.
That's right.
That's right. Mm-hmm. What can we do for you?
That was all. I just want to pass that on because you guys never call your own show.
Okay. Helpful. Okay.
Thank you, my friend.
Good point.
Hello, Don and Mike. I'm always calling, but the line's always busy.
I call on the best of all the time.
We're so popular. Hello, Don and Mike show.
Hey, Don and Mike.
Hi there.
Hi.
Hi.
Well, I'm so glad to get through.
Here you are, honey.
I'm from Baltimore.
Right on.
I was just calling because, you know, Joe did the whole thing with the American Idol when he was in D.C. I was really bummed out I didn't get to go. Do you know if they're going to another town near the Washington area?
I don't think so.
Mike, I believe they're going to Towson, Maryland.
I heard it was Pikesville.
Hello, Don and Mike show. Hello.
Don and Mike, what's going on?
It might be Dundalk.
I love the names around Baltimore.
Hello, Don and Mike.
Skaggsville.
Or Little Italy. Because Skaggsville is really like a Beltsville thing.
Yeah, sure. It's actually more in between.
Right. Hello, Don and Mike show.
Don and Mike, what's up?
Skaggsville is in the taint area.
Between D.C. and Baltimore.
Between D.C. and Baltimore.
It's a pretty name.
Hello.
Hello, yeah. Don and Mike.
This is us. Hi there. Go ahead.
Hey, what's going on? Hey,
now you said what's going on. That was the fourth time.
Hi there. What can we do for you?
So PB was on the Don and Mike show today. If they invest in Afghan, they would say no way. Bet that won't happen again for months and months and months. I bet that won't happen again for months and months and months.
See, now this is where we're different.
What's that?
That guy kind of amused me a little bit.
Oh, I love that call. What are you talking about? Don't misrepresent me.
Well, I'm just looking at your face.
Did I betray myself?
Yes, you did. You're not the best actor ever, Mike.
I'm sorry. Nice call, ass.
Mike show. Hello.
Hey, guys.
Hey, you're on the air. Hi.
I was wondering when Rob was going to have another yard sale. I heard he's got some good stuff.
Rob, any plans for another yard sale anytime soon?
Yeah, you know, the next time I have a yard sale might be right when I suddenly have a lot of female clothes to sell.
Oh, okay. Oh, jeez.
Hello, Don and Mike show.
Yes, Don. Oh,
yes, turn down your radio, please. Hello.
She looks great in this.
Hello there.
Don.
Yes.
How the heck are you?
How the heck are you anyway?
Hey, Mike. Hey, Mike, it's Dundalk, and you got to throw me a couple of words in your Dundalk accent, hon.
Dundalk!
I thought it's Dundalk.
It's Dundalk.
Dundalk.
Dundalk. You mean you flatten it out?
Yeah, that's the armpit of Maryland. Dundalk and Aztec.
Dundalk.
Dundalk.
Hello, Don and Mike show.
Hi, guys.
Hey.
I was watching a baseball game, and it was the Dodger game. And so the guy pans off to the audience. And I'm thinking, what's going on? So there's an old man walking up the stairs. And you know how, like, you're with the old man and you got to let him catch up to you?
Right.
So here's this old man, and he's walking up the stairs, and he's got a wife and these two kids there. And so I looked at my wife, and I was like, oh, someone's going to the ball game with Grandpa.
Mm-hmm.
So sure enough, they turn, and it's Larry King and his wife. And it was such a good display of his family, because here's Larry. He's got Koufax's jersey on. There's his wife walking behind him, dressed like she's going to church. The kids are dressed like they're going to church. No baseball hats, no nothing.
Right.
And it was only about the fourth inning. And it was the funniest thing because, you know, Larry's walking up, you know, at this crawl, snail's pace. And then there's the kids who are over there fidgeting behind him. And it was just the funniest thing, you know.
I don't believe a word of this.
Me and the wife and the two kids.
Yeah. So,
I don't believe a word of this. It's on TV.
Mike, I seen it. It was the Dodgers playing the Braves.
He's seen it.
Mike,
there's your proof.
Mike, I seen it. Hello, Don and Mike show. Phone scan.
Hey, Don and Mike. Hey. Listening to you talking to Sophie B. Hawkins, but I got to thinking, the last time I heard Sophie B. Hawkins, I was playing my Don and Mike CD-ROM.
Yeah, that's another reference to CD-ROM.
And even back then, she was a crappy guest. Back when she had her hit record.
That's right. But that's CD-ROM rock.
Hello, Don and Mike show.
Hello, Billy.
Billy?
Billy, is that you, Billy?
No, Billy. Hello, Don and Mike show.
Hey, Don and Mike.
Hi there.
Hi, you had me cracking up with the whole Larry King thing. I put it in the
Hold on. We had the sound there. I couldn't hear you. The last person.
Okay.
Start again.
It was funny to hear Larry King say how he's still so young. This coming from somebody that wears Depends undergarments.
Oh, that's right. Remember that when they went through his trash?
That's right.
They found Larry's Depends.
Isn't that unbelievable, Larry?
Unbelievable.
That was funny to me.
Larry thinks it's funny,
you
too.
You know, we're going to be calling the phone whores here with the new Larry tapes in a second. And you, my friend, you're the last person on the phone scan. What is your name?
Whitney.
And where are you from?
Sacramento.
From Sacramento, KHTK. Congratulations. Last person on the phone scan. You have got the Full Throttle prize pack. Order Sturgis 2004 Full Throttle on in-demand pay-per-view today. Plus, you got the $25 gift card from our friends at Tower Records and Tower.com. Tower Records, everything worth hearing is there. Thank you, my friend.
Thank you, Don.
Thank you. Hold on. And Mike. Yeah, Mike gives the prizes away as well.
Thank you.
And Rob.
And, no, he has nothing to do with it. There is no need. Right, Rob? And the
Sometimes not.
Right, that's what I thought.
Like when, having a yard sale with dresses.
Yes.
And you see the joke there.
Uh-huh.
Let's see. Larry, did you get the joke?
Nope.
Okay. The joke was when Rob said dresses, meaning he's going to kill his wife.
You got to be kidding me.
I am not kidding you.
Come on. Forget it.
I'm serious.
Larry.
But Larry, can I ask you a question?
Okay.
You ever think about offing your wife?
Yes.
Hey, a revelation.
A lot?
Yes.
Wow, that's scary.
Kill any of your other wives?
Probably yes.
Oh, wow.
That's perfect.
Larry.
And what'd you think after that happened?
It was funny.
All right, so, we'll call the phone horse with these great new Larry tapes. We're going to say it.
He's the Don and Mike Show. Bill O'Reilly.
Oh, stop it. Stop it. Ooh. Come on. Big shot. Cheap shot. Come on. Ooh. You see? I don't care. I'm not retracting it.
Ooh. Bill O'Reilly.
Shut up.
Weekdays, noon to two. On 106.7.
No revere.
JFK.
The Don and Mike Show. WJFK.
This is the Don and Mike Show.
I just noticed something that in one of your interviews with John Candy, I believe, it looked like an older interview, you had less hair than you have today. How do you explain that?
I don't wear a wig, sir.
Paint your bald spot?
What bald spot?
You paint your bald spot?
I don't know what you're talking about, sir. My hair grows.
Do you paint your bald spot?
I don't have a bald spot.
How come you had less hair on the tape?
Maybe my hair grew. Maybe I had a bad haircut that day. By the way, something. What do you care?
Paint your bald spot?
I don't. Do you paint your bald spot?
Paint your bald spot?
You sick of
it. The Don and Mike Show. Noted Bonesman, Don Geronimo, and Michael Mara.
Just ahead of calling the phone horse with the Larry tapes, Carmela's on the phone. She's done with the work today. Hey, Carm.
Yes, my darling Tony.
Frida says to me, she calls up during the break, picked up dinner, she was at work today. She said, how's the show going? I said, it's going pretty good. A lot of listeners called in and think that you're Carmela, and I'm Tony. And she said, well, now, why would they say that? And she said, why would you even talk about what happened this week?
Well, I know that you don't like people to think that we have, you know, problems, which we don't. We're relatively happily married, and you bring it on yourself. I'm surprised you open yourself up for listeners.
I think people can relate to it. That's why I brought it up.
But, you know, if you get aggravated because people think that,
I was kidding. I don't care.
We're hiring lawyers. It's your own fault.
I don't care. I don't care what they think. I was just kidding you about that.
All right. You do care terribly what they think, but pretend like you don't. That's all right.
Oh, I care terribly.
You're a big, tough guy.
You're a big,
tough guy. You're Tony on the outside, but you're just a pussycat on the inside.
All right, Carmela. And you're Carmela on the outside and Carmela on the inside.
Oh. I know. I'm going to go swing by a high school today, see if I can find a teacher.
Or a priest.
Yeah, all right. Thank you, bud. Yeah. Or a priest.
He's always at the house.
I'm a priest.
Yes.
Yeah, you forgot.
All right, good.
Father Rinzentola.
All right. There'll be some GE on the table when you come home, my sugar bear.
The whole tray? Some Evans in. All right, Carm. I love you. I'll see you later. And listen,
I love you too.
Listen, Frida, be forewarned. Tonight, high def.
Los Angeles Rams, excuse me, St. Louis Rams, Kansas City Chiefs.
You know, I could be in the other room having sex with a priest, and you wouldn't even care if football's on television.
I would care. I might not do anything about it, but I would.
It depends on the volume level, doesn't it?
Yeah. Of the sex or the football?
Either one. Well, whether you care or not.
If they were too loud in the other room, I'd just turn up the sound on the TV.
That's right.
Yeah. All right, Carm, I'll see you. I love you.
I love you.
Oh, and
bye.
Hold on. Let me just add, Larry, you've been married a lot of times. Larry, are you there? Larry?
Oh, hold on.
You want Larry?
Yeah, I want
Larry.
He'll
be right here.
I want Larry. I want Larry, bank number 9. Larry. There you go.
And who is this?
I'm Larry of the Corner.
Larry, have you heard everything that Frieda and I have been discussing?
Yes.
What do you think? Think it's going to work out for us?
Nope.
Oh, Larry, come on.
No contest.
Oh, would you stop it? Well, can we at least end as friends?
Good luck.
Good luck. Okay, thanks. Bye, honey. Bye. Bye.
Goodbye, sweetie.
Bye, baby. All right, let's call the phone horn.
Let's do.
With the Larry tapes, these great new Larry King tapes that we got. 1-900, I'll call Gary Pillows. Now, the deal is, all we got to do is tell them that they're on the air.
And then Larry takes it from there.
That's it.
Oh, hi, baby.
Hi, baby.
You reach 1-900-258-4-ASS.
Right.
That's 1-900-CALLS.
I don't have it memorized.
Wet and horny. I could just...
Oh, wow. Okay, well,
wow. The minefield.
Every desire fulfilled. Will all your wildest fantasies come true? Hold on, baby.
Yeah.
You're in for one hell of a ride. It's only $2.49 to $4.99 per minute.
That's okay.
We don't call them as much as we used to.
No, we don't.
K Enterprises, a customer service.
Still a good bit, though.
1-800-777-1249.
Just wait until we get all these new Larry tapes. And the new Larry tapes are all from 60 Minutes.
See you $5.99. Please be aware that your call may be monitored for quality purposes. One moment, please.
Yeah, baby.
Quality is important.
We're going to get a live person.
I might have to tell her the phone number that we're calling from.
Yes.
But normally. Here. Yeah, the name is, it's CBS Viacom. That's how it appears on the statement. Oh, hold on a second. Now, wait. You know, for goodness sakes.
Why what did they hit? They hit the delay?
They already hit the delay on that.
Yeah,
now, who did that?
That I don't know.
Who did that? Because,
Who that?
Hello.
Hi, baby.
Hi there. Hi, okay. The address is 10800 Main Street. Fairfax, Virginia. Didn't used to be this tough, did it?
No, lots of rules. It's, Homeland Security.
Delays back up.
Good.
22030.
That's right.
My name is Ken Stevens. The name of the company is CBS Viacom. America's most watched network. It's true.
It's true, it's true.
You ever watch Judging Amy?
Sure.
Yeah, me too, I like that.
She does.
How soon can I, until I can talk to a girl? Hello? Oh.
Right here. Hold on just a second.
All right, good.
Connected already.
Sexy girl. Only $4.99 per minute to join the 24-hour orgy.
Now, everybody with the button, just chill out. I'll tell the girl she's on the air. Okay?
Remember, to get back to the main menu, you can press...
Nobody go nutty with that button now.
Time.
Here we go. Get ready for Larry. Come on.
I know. This is, we're waiting.
Hello?
Don and Mike show. You're on the air.
Hello?
Well, hello. Who's this?
I'm Larry.
You're Larry?
I'm Larry of the Corner.
Larry of the Corner?
Yes.
So where on the corner are you going from?
New York. My hometown, New York.
Ah. So what's happening up there, Larry?
I like the climate, I like the people, I like the entertainment world.
Yeah. Larry, you sound very interesting.
Yes.
I've never talked to anybody quite like you before.
Probably, yes.
Ah. Oh, well, Larry, tell me about yourself.
I'm curious. I want to know why.
You want to know why what?
It was funny.
Oh, okay.
I'm Larry.
Hi, Larry.
Hello.
Like,
hello.
How old are you, Larry?
I'm lying in bed. There's a minister over there. People are all gathering around the bed.
And I'm dying.
You know, I often ponder this. What is too much?
What is too much?
I'm looking at a person I look there, except for my hair gone gray, that I look older there than I feel now.
Really?
Yes.
Larry.
Unbelievable. No contest.
Come on, honey. Keep talking. Keep talking. Say something.
No, it's the L factor with her. The lazy factor.
Larry, I am the Magnificent.
Okay.
Mighty.
This is a big moment.
Okay. Unbelievable.
It's very believable.
The only thing I worry about is dying.
Really?
What wigs me out the most is how fat I was.
But, Larry, you're not really fat, are you?
I think I look better now. I know I think I feel better now.
You sound very sexy, Larry.
You were not born. You were made in a toy factory. It was funny.
What kind of toy are you, Larry?
I want to see it all.
What?
I want to see it all.
You want to see it all?
I still at times, right before I fall asleep, wonder if I'm going to get up.
Are you up right now, Larry?
You got to be kidding me.
No, I would never kid you about a thing like that, Larry.
I think I look better now. I know I think I feel better now.
Well, can I feel you, Larry?
I don't know.
You don't know?
I don't know. That's my three words. I don't know.
Lady.
I pinch myself more. I can't. Whoever thought I'd get.
She just asked.
Is it really, really big?
Yes.
Oh. More than 10 inches?
Probably, yes.
Ooh. Is it digitally enhanced?
Nope. I would rather do Saddam Hussein, but who would?
Saddam Hussein?
Hands down, Michael Jackson.
Michael Jackson.
Michael Jackson tonight.
This is an interesting character.
Michael Jackson tonight.
Tonight?
Oh, boy.
Does it mean you're going to dangle me over a balcony?
Yes.
Oh, my God.
I'm Larry of the Corner.
Larry of the Corner.
That hurt.
I love it, Larry.
Back to life. Hello?
Hello.
I got some few chest pains. First chest pains I've had in 10 years.
You have chest pains?
Come on.
Should I call my
forget it.
One?
Come on. Forget it.
Well, if you're having chest pains, I don't...
I often ponder this. What yeah. is
yeah. Already...
too much?
Yeah. They've already hit the button
can't
on this.
Say that.
And no. They can't say that. We're,
she said...
We're having a little better show here in the studio.
Yeah. This girl is so dirty.
She just like, wants to get right to it.
Like so much dirtier.
That is great.
There are so many great Larry King responses.
Oh, absolutely. And you know, the very beginning of it, the best thing about those tapes is if it really sounds natural at the beginning, which it doesn't. Mm-hmm. Hello.
I'm Larry from the corner.
I'm Larry of the corner.
I'm Larry of the corner. Now we got to wait for the girl.
I'm having chest pains.
We got to wait for the girl. Let's see if she waits while the delay builds back up.
Bet she does.
Because she yeah. said something to Larry about a part of his body.
Yeah, and then Larry got into it after we hit the delay.
And that's obscene.
They're all on guard right now. All the button pushers.
Of course. There are. Meanwhile, I'm getting nothing on the telephone here. This girl might have hung up because the lights are still gray.
Which means it's ramping up.
Yeah.
Yeah, which means it's ramping up.
But
right?
What we should explain is...
Right, Larry?
Yes. They hit the delay, and then at a certain point, you hit it so many times, you lose the phone calls.
Right. So you've got Beth Ann hitting the delay, you're hitting the delay.
Right.
You've got the other guy hitting the delay, you got the guy at the network hitting the delay, four different people hitting the delay. Meanwhile, you know, what happened to the wonderful, delightful girl? Delay.
She was charming.
Delay for tonight.
She just had a very...
Where am delay for tonight?
She had a very pertinent question about Larry's body.
Yes. She sure did.
And she came right to it.
She had some good follow-up questions, mm-hmm. too.
She found Larry sexy. You might have heard some of the follow-up questions. You just didn't hear the initial question.
Yeah, but then her other follow-up question
was
another one that...
She was talking about some sort of CPR.
Mm-hmm. She was. And those phones are deader than Marlon Brando.
CPR.
And I got nothing on the phone. I can't even.
Wow.
You know what? Look at that. Now, what, did somebody just shut the phone system down? Can they do that?
I don't think they can.
Has no one fought that?
Because right now, who knows if this girl's even still on the telephone, right?
What would Larry say about that?
What would Larry say?
Larry, it looks like they've shut down the phone system. That's not right.
Hold on. I lost my place here. Just a second, Mike. I was looking at the other thing.
All right.
Larry, what do you think about that?
I'm curious. I want to know why.
That's what we want to know, too, Larry. We want to know why.
Yeah, and I'm mad.
And I'll beat you.
Hey, don't beat me.
And I'll beat you.
Don't beat me. If you don't beat me, I'll give you the treat you want.
A boy.
That's right. Is that what you want, a boy?
Yes.
Say it. What do you want?
A boy.
So you that would make you happy, Larry?
Yes.
Really?
Probably yes.
That's my favorite.
Yeah.
Probably
that's
yes.
That's a great one.
Hey.
Oh, hold on. There she is.
Larry.
You're on the air.
Me?
Hello.
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 She's still there.
Hello.
Hello.
I'm Larry of the Corner.
Larry of the Corner.
Come on, say something, honey.
And I'm Kristen of Florida.
Okay.
I knew you'd just love that.
And I'll beat you.
I will beat you.
Hello.
Hello.
The only thing I worry about is dying.
Well, Larry, you're not going to die.
I think I look better now. I know I think I feel better now.
Well, I know you feel better.
If I knew I'd live this long, I'd take better care of myself.
And just how long is that, Larry?
Probably yes.
Probably yes. Okay.
Okay.
Sorry, hit the wrong button there.
I read the obituaries every day. Look at the ages of the people that die.
Really, Larry?
Yes.
Did you find your name there, baby?
Nope.
Okay.
I pinch myself more. I can't. Whoever thought I'd get.
You pinch yourself hard?
Oh. Yes.
Hurt?
Yes.
I'm sorry.
Okay.
Come on, say something, honey. Say something.
Unbelievable.
It is unbelievable.
Unbelievable. I'm curious. I want to know why.
Why?
You were not born. You were made in a toy factory.
I know I was.
Do I think we do too much?
Hello out there.
Okay.
Hello?
Hello.
Honey.
Hello.
Oh, she hung up. We win.
Okay, that's... Hey, that was wonderful. Hey.
You know, even with all of
the restrictions, it makes it through. Yeah. Okay, thank you, phone ho. And thank you, Larry King. Larry, may I ask you something?
Yes.
Did you like that?
Sometimes not.
But sometimes you did? What about that one today? Did you like that?
Probably yes.
My favorite. Yes. And where were you while we were doing that bit?
I'm lying in bed.
Oh, okay. Larry?
This universe has been around a long time, and it's going to be around a long time. And I'm here for a blip of it.
Yeah.
Right. You think you're going to last the end of the year?
Nope.
Didn't think so.
I'm in for a blip of it.
In a world where owning a radio was strictly forbidden, one man found a way to bring good news to his people.
It was Buzz.
Me. He made it up.
Right, Buzz, right?
Yes.
Yes.
Right.
Buzz.
Yes.
I'm curious.
What's your lead story today?
Today, it's a free country till you get fired for speaking your politics.
Come on. Forget it.
No, it's true.
All right, stay tuned.
I'm Larry of the Corner.
He won't go away.
Producing comments.
Stay tuned for news and comments.
Yes.
Coming up on the Don and Mike Show.
Probably, yes.
That was very...
professional.
I'm Larry of the Corner.
This is the Don and Mike Show.
What's the word from Planet Crackpot?
The Don and Mike Show.
The cure for pronated foot. The Don and Mike Show.
Okay. Heard every day on Westwood One on 46 radio stations across America, including 95.9, 96 Rock, Ocean City, Maryland, 92.9, WBUF Buffalo.
All right.
Willis McGahee, he doesn't look so stupid now, does he?
Mm-hmm.
You know, because Travis Henry went down and now he's got the job. Houston, KIKK, and a 10-year affiliate, KHTK, Sacramento, California.
Hello!
Time for Buzz's News now.
Hello!
Buzz News is brought to you by Veramax, the world's number one sexual pleasure and performance enhancer.
Someone call for a doctor?
Number one, because it's really worked. Doctor developed, clinically tested. Call 1-888-TRY-BMAX. Now here's Buzz. Hi, Buzz.
Hi, Don and Mike.
Hi.
A guy has lost his job because he spoke out against President Bush. 35-year-old Glenn Hiller, who lives near Charleston, West Virginia, did not use the best business sense, which is the main reason he was fired.
Unbelievable.
Hiller was in advertising, and one of his company's clients gave him free tickets to a campaign appearance by the president. Hiller's boss says he embarrassed the client by showing up, and when the president talked about Iraq, shouting out that he disagrees.
It was funny.
The crowd of shills, which both candidates used, drowned out our boy, chanting, four more years. Quoting Hiller, disagree with him and it all turns evil. He says he won't miss his old job, even if he doesn't like the reason he was fired.
I'm under that same pressure every day, Buzz.
No. British Prime Minister Tony Blair is refusing to come to the United States to accept a medal from President Bush.
Hello?
As Election Day approaches, Bush has invited Blair here to get the Congressional Medal of Honor. That's the highest honor the U.S. can give a foreign dignitary. Blair would get his for supporting the war in Iraq.
Wow.
The ceremony of it all would look great on TV and show the world our allies think the war in Iraq was a great idea.
We're giving him the fluoride medal.
Yeah, for the best team.
The crest medal.
Hello.
And as long as he's coming, why doesn't he bring his daughter, Linda?
Linda Blair.
I hope she does that trick where she turns her head clean around.
He's already here, and he's not coming. A London newspaper says Blair is refusing the invite while British and American troops continue to risk their lives in Iraq.
Good call on his part.
And it's
so?
A politically motivated call on his part, too, because he's getting more heat than Bush is, right?
Yeah, absolutely. The president had
they all wear wigs over there.
Powdered wigs.
That's some funny stuff. You ever watch C-SPAN on a Sunday night? Nothing else is on, like when the Sopranos time slot?
Order!
Turn on.
Order!
Bully.
Turn on and watch these guys wearing their friggin' George Washington wigs.
The lady doesn't do it anymore, does she?
No, she doesn't.
I liked her.
But a lot of guys do, and then you've got Tony Blair, who's there in his Brooks Brothers suit.
Hello. Does the good gentleman from across the aisle realize that he smells offensive?
Funny. It's great.
Well, the president had another unfortunate misspeak over the weekend. Granted, he was talking about a head-spinning subject, the conversion of foreign currency. But right or wrong, we tend to expect our leaders to know of what they speak. Mr. Bush, on a campaign stop, was telling a story that illustrated the cruelty of Saddam Hussein. The president said the victim in this story traded Soviet dinars for euros or dollars. Dinars are the Iraqi currency. They're not Soviet. Either way, the victim in the story got his arms cut off, so it was a dramatic story that everyone seemed to enjoy.
I'll tell you right now, the Japanese peso and the Mexican yen are good forms of currency. Didn't you mention Saddam Hussein?
Yes, yes, I did.
I would rather do Saddam Hussein, but who would?
Exactly.
Larry.
Oh, boy.
The Pentagon wants money from Congress to build a network of militias around the world.
Militias are armies made up of ordinary citizens rather than professional soldiers.
I have a first-class Wendell Hall reporting.
The Pentagon wants $500 million to set up a global network of these informal armies. The Pentagon says it would use these armies to flush terrorists out of ungoverned areas.
Come out of your hut now!
The president's defense secretary won't say where these areas might be, but the Pentagon's spoken often of the Philippines, the Horn of Africa, Iraq, and the Afghan-Pakistani border.
My name's Corporal Hall, and I'm glad to be on the Horn of Africa.
Quoting Paul Wolfowitz, our most important allies will be Muslims who oppose extremism. And that will apparently require $500 million worth of guns.
Wow.
The New York Post spun a web of fear this morning with a story about possible trouble at the upcoming Republican convention.
What's that? The fact that Elizabeth Hasselbeck will be speaking?
No, that's not what they're most afraid of.
That's trouble.
The paper says a number of extremists from the Weather Underground of the 1970s are fresh out of prison and looking to make trouble. The paper quotes a source as saying these people are trained in kidnapping and bomb making. They're very bad people, end quote. But the source also says the aging hippies are really just planning to disrupt the convention, not blow it up. The 70s underground bombed
hey,
government.
Whenever you say aging hippies,
Michael Elston as Buzz Burbank.
Give you a little shout out, Buzz.
Fresh out of prison.
Just call me Junior. The 70s, the underground bombed government buildings back then to protest racism and the Vietnam War. Now, they're steamed about the Iraq War and racism. McDonald's and Starbucks are popular targets for protesters, especially when there's a big political gathering nearby.
Starbucks.
So both corporate chains have beefed up security at their New York locations.
They get it. McDonald's has beefed up
security.
Right?
Yeah.
And they've done this with extra private security folks and with uniformed cops. Starbucks has warned its employees not to wear their uniforms outside the store.
Where's my Java, my couple Joe at Starbucks?
Starbucks has been warned, its people have been warned, to refuse service to anyone who appears they could turn violent.
I'll have a grande latte.
Give me the coffee.
Yeah, for people needing a caffeine fix, that could be just about any of them.
Here's what we need to do, seriously. We need to guard against the goddamn $6.50 cup of coffee.
That's ridiculous.
I know.
I don't even drink the stuff. And that $6.50?
Well, if you like all the goo and stuff, and if you like the grande, yeah.
Delicious. I like coffee with goo in it.
Yeah. It's good. And they have some good goo at Starbucks. Starbucks. Hey, Mike. Hey, come
good
on.
And good
Mike.
For you.
Mike. Hey, what are you doing?
This is not the 100% guaranteed coffee.
Creaming your coffee? Oh, meanwhile, back at the airports, TV's Nicole Richie got nabbed by security in Reno after some jewelry set off the metal detector. The jewelry was in a piercing in her chest area.
Oh, did you say Nicole Richie?
I did. Yeah. Nicole says she told the security lady what she usually says, I'm pierced. That, says Nicole, is usually the end of it. But the security lady in Reno wouldn't let her through to board a plane for New York. Nicole says she offered to allow her chest to be scanned.
Oh, Buzz?
Yes.
Who was it?
That was Nicole Richie.
VD. I'm Larry of the Corner.
Do you have VD, Larry?
Yes.
Have you given it to other people, Larry?
Probably, yes.
Probably.
Are you concerned about it?
Nope.
No.
No.
He doesn't care.
What about VD? Getting VD?
That hurt.
Sure.
Fact of life.
Uh-huh. Yeah. True. You know, the Reno airport is where Wendell goose-stepped through security so many years ago.
Yes, he did. That's
right.
All right,
I remember that.
The troublesome airport.
Wendell. Well, Nicole says she offered to allow her chest to be scanned, or as she told the security lady, you can touch it.
Yay.
Quoting the security guard, I'm not allowed to touch it. Quoting Nicole, what if I say you can touch it? And she's like, no, I'm not allowed to do that.
Now, the deal with her is she's not really Nicole. She's not really Lionel Richie's real daughter, right?
Is she adopted?
I believe
or
so.
Weird thing. She was the daughter of someone in his band who couldn't care
for
her.
The Commodores?
Ah. No, like the Lionel Richie Dancing on the Ceiling band.
Ah. Okay.
And he said, that's a beautiful daughter. I'd like to adopt her.
Oh, okay, so somebody couldn't care for her?
I guess. That's the impression they give. Or he stole her in the night.
One or the other.
I like that story.
You do? In the night?
Yeah.
Yes.
Ooh.
Someone stole Nicole Richie.
Put her in a bag.
That was a beautiful baby.
Took her to Spain.
Oh, what an option to exercise adoption.
Mm-hmm. After a partial strip search.
Hey!
Yes.
After a partial strip search, Nicole Richie was allowed through, but she still doesn't get the security threat. Quoting her, what am I going to do? Poke someone in the eye with it?
I got hiccups.
Hey, we hope.
Hey.
I can't hear you.
Many, many New Yorkers have not recovered from the devastation of 9/11. Some of them never will. Some, who already had emotional problems before 9/11, were pushed over the edge by the loss and devastation. Which brings us to a woman who says she was gang raped at a firehouse in New York in the Bronx. But after calling 911 to report the rape, she changed her story and then changed it again. She admits at least one of the encounters was consensual. Either way, three firemen have been suspended. Her ex-husband says his bipolar ex-wife went off the deep end.
Is this Jane Paul?
No, this is a different...
Excuse me. Oh, God, I'm sorry.
A different...
I'm sorry.
Don't be sorry.
I took a big sip of soda.
Be not embarrassed.
And
you're among friends.
Hey, what happened?
Hey, what happened?
That was a beautiful moment on this
show. Wow.
Jane Pauley. Yeah, no.
We don't do replays anymore, do we?
No, we can't.
Oh, what a shame.
Let me just say, tastes better coming back down.
Sure, always.
Than it did going up. Jane Pauley is bipolar.
Yes, she's just announced that recently.
That's all I wanted to say is that...
Bipolar?
She's bipolar. Bipolar.
A different New Yorker, though. Larry, were you grossed out by that?
Nope.
No,
no, it doesn't bother him.
Have you heard that sound before?
Yes.
Yes. Well, this woman's ex-husband...
Who does it more, you or me?
No contest.
Oh, you win,
it's
huh?
You, right?
Yes.
Yeah,
oh,
yes. Larry.
Well, don't forget, when it comes to burping...
The nature of the beast.
Yes, that's Larry.
To find alive.
Her ex-husband, this woman in New York, her ex-husband says he is bipolar ex-wife... went off the deep end after the 2001 attack and began sleeping with every cop and firefighter she could. He tells police the number is now in the hundreds.
Well, they work hard, those guys, and they protect and serve.
They do.
She's served hundreds, as a matter of fact, even though the man says his wife neither saw the attack nor knew anyone who was killed in it.
Really?
Yeah,
really. Well, she just wants to help out.
Exactly.
What's wrong with that?
Janet Jackson blames Bush for the breast upheaval and the indecency witch hunt that followed.
Oh, hold on.
It's been a while since we've had the FCC witch hunt music.
Yeah.
You know, Buzz, I don't know. I don't remember if you mentioned it on your new show.
Okay.
I did get an internal memo from CBS about the proposed FCC fine against the 215 television stations, not just CBS owned,
that aired the Super Bowl.
Yeah, they are still hung up on her nipple.
Unbelievable.
Still, 8 months later, we're still hung up on Janet Jackson's nipple.
So many things to do.
Yeah. Janet Jackson tells the music magazine Genre the incident was used by the Bush administration.
Buzz, excuse me.
Yes?
That's Genre.
Mm-hmm. Oh, Genre, I'm sorry.
Janir?
Janir or Genre?
Genry.
There's so much Genry. There's so much controversy.
Gurja.
Janet tells this music magazine that the incident was used by the Bush administration to distract people from the war in Iraq. It was Iraq to take away from Iraq.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, hold on. There you go.
But Janet will have to speak louder if she expects her brother to smell her. A plastic surgeon who worked on Michael Jackson's nose says the nose is made from one of Jackson's ears.
This you should not do. You should not say he's an animal.
What?
Should not say he's what? Jacko. I'm not a Jacko.
Jackson's nose was still natural in 1977, but by 89, surgery had made it dramatically different.
Michael, do you have to blow your ear?
I do. Macaulay, can you hear me?
My fingers are in my ear.
You stink, big sting lips.
I love Macaulay with his big bee sting lips. And don't call me Jacko.
And this you should not do. You should not say he's an animal. Should not say he's Jacko. I'm not a Jacko.
I'm like the walking Mr. Potato Head. In 2002, that's when Michael's nose collapsed. But now...
Hey, Michael, what do you and Larry King have in common?
We like boys.
A boy.
A boy. And it's Macaulay.
A boy.
I go through dozens of Q-tips.
Hands down, Michael Jackson.
Thank you, Larry. Now, Jacko says
Michael Jackson tonight.
He says he's only had two plastic surgeries. But now a doctor says Jackson went under the knife so many times a piece of his ear cartilage had to be used to reinforce it. Dr. Werner Mong says he was part of the team of surgeons who worked on Jacko in the late 90s. He says Jackson's had at least seven operations, mostly by a Dr. Heflin, mostly after the release of a new album. He says every time Michael has released a new album,
he gets another plastic surgery job.
Oh, that's wonderful. I can hear you through my nose.
The mother of Michael Jackson's latest accuser is being called to testify at a pretrial hearing. That's because Jacko's lawyers say the woman is a liar, and they're convinced they have convinced the judge...
She's a liar.
...to let them question her in his presence to try to expose the alleged lie.
And you know, when he's parading his entire family into the courtroom as he's doing it, and it's really lovely last week when they all had their Fantasy Island suits on.
Thank you, LaToya. Thank you, Janet.
Here's what I was going to say, exactly that. I'm down with Janet being there.
Hi.
I'm okay with Jermaine, mm-hmm. Tito, mm-hmm. Marlon,
okay.
Randy.
Right.
I don't think you need LaToya there.
Why not?
LaToya's the other one that really just doesn't have all of the parts in the right place.
But she's the most like me. She has a nose ear, too.
But doesn't she go back and forth as to whether or not she supports Michael?
Yeah, but she's just crazy always. Yeah,
one time I went to an ear, nose, and throat doctor, and I made him dizzy.
You went two for three.
you know that little thing that they look in your ears at? That thing the thing that's got the black tip on the end of it?
The mm-hmm. tiny little poker.
So when he put that in your nose then?
In the nose, yes, absolutely.
To make sure you could hear okay.
Mm-hmm, that's right. And when I blow my nose, wax comes out.
Yeah.
Yellow wax.
Police, meanwhile.
Bye,
Michael.
So do you have boogers in your ears?
Boogers in my ears, wax in my nose. And I'm slightly nose and ear hair at both places.
You're crazy.
Bye.
You're crazy.
I'm tired.
I like you. Now, police, meanwhile, say they have a telephone recording of a boy saying, somebody's coming. I have to go now.
Come, boy.
Somebody's coming. I have to go now. They say they found the tape in Michael Jackson's safe and believe the boy was speaking from Jackson's bedroom. They say an alarm that can be found in Jackson's bedroom matches the one heard in the background on that tape recorder.
Hands down, Michael Jackson.
That is so creepy. I had an alarm in my bedroom. Someone's coming.
Oh, boy.
When we come back, the Sacramento approach to playground fun.
Hey, Buzz with the localized news for one of our affiliates.
I love Sacramento. Bye.
Bye. Right.
This is the Don and Mike Show.
Gosh, I hate to interrupt. It's all been so incredibly fascinating and entertaining and instructive. Really, the time has just flown by.
The Don and Mike Show.
Noted Chubby Chaser, Don Geronimo, and Michael Mara.
Yeah, bell, but now Helen Wheels. Here is Buzz. Hi, Buzz.
Hi, Don and Mike.
Howdy.
Despite the popularity of the movie Dodgeball this summer, you won't see kids playing it on the schoolyard playgrounds of Sacramento, California this fall.
Oh, if I could just interrupt,
sure.
Which I love doing the news. Dodgeball, I told you,
mm-hmm.
I didn't think it's too
funny.
You
didn't like it, right?
No.
As well as Anchorman.
And there's a whole Ben Stiller thing
mm-hmm.
that I've got going on now, and I've got to really watch it that I don't start to hate him.
Really?
Because I'm looking forward to Meet the Fockers.
Yeah.
But on pay-per-view this weekend, one of the movies I was thinking about watching was Starsky and Hutch.
Right.
And they've got that deal where you watch the first 5 minutes for free.
Right.
And it had a funny beginning with Vince Vaughn playing a coke dealer, a bad guy.
Mm-hmm.
But then as soon as it got to Ben Stiller, who was doing...
Posing again?
Yeah, doing either whichever one he is, Starsky or Hutch.
Right.
It's half Zoolander,
yeah.
Half Dodgeball.
The problem with Starsky and Hutch is they didn't really make a fist and really didn't make a parody. More than half of it is really like an episode of Starsky and Hutch.
Yeah.
Well, I can only judge it on the first 5 minutes until it said, do you want the movie? Pay now if you want it. And I had to say, sorry, no.
Yeah.
Well, if you want a refreshing change in the theater, you should take in what I saw this weekend. Because I think it might be nominated. It was that good. Benji Off the Leash.
Oh, yes.
Yeah.
Oh, that porno movie?
You'll cry.
Yeah. I wonder, has Benji left us? There was a chance.
This was the new Benji.
Yeah.
How many?
Well, I don't think it's the same one from Petticoat Junction.
How many Benjis have there been? Sadly, Rob and I have had this discussion off the radio.
We'd have to speak to Joe Camp.
But I think that there were
maybe nine Benji. Didn't we have a story that the new Benji's dying?
Yeah, yeah. Well, there's a chance that Benji will regrettably leave us because there's a something bad behind her eye. Benji's a bitch.
Oh, Benji is a bitch.
Yeah, that's right.
Well, it looked like there were two Benjis, and the problem I have with all kids' movies when I go see them is that I, if they're not known actors,
yes.
I just think they all look like pedophiles. It's a horrible thing, but I really do. And for anybody that might have taken kids to Benji, it's a terrible, deep, dark thing to watch a movie and think, you know, those guys, I wouldn't want them around my kids.
Hey, but, hold on. Did you go to see that movie?
Yes.
Did you really? You saw the movie. What was the movie, Mike?
Benji Off the Leash.
Is that the movie you saw?
Yes.
And who are you?
I'm Larry of the Corner.
Oh, I didn't see him there.
And after you saw the movie, what did you really want?
Come boy.
Yeah, that answers it. It's terrible. I didn't have the same reaction.
At least Benji's safe.
If I knew I'd live this long, I'd take better care of myself.
But the problem, seriously, that I had during that movie was I was watching the movie in three times. Because for whatever reason, Catherine wanted me to watch this movie. Mm-hmm. And I
not fall asleep in it.
I was out three times. Three times in a row. And I'm talking mouth open, apparently snoring, according to
Catherine. Was this the day after the night before? Or?
Well, no, this was just the content of the film. I had a very, very good night's sleep.
Because didn't you make at least one night this weekend?
Right,
You had... Mm-hmm. A night-night.
I had a night-night. But I also slept in, and I was fine, and the kids slept late. This had nothing to do with anything but the content of this movie. It's just like, hey, there's Benji, and the kid's got a little shack where he's saving the dog, and the sleeper hit of the year.
The sleeper hit of the year.
So you won't be seeing dodgeball on the playgrounds in Sacramento this fall or any other game that involves physical contact. That would include tag. That would include one kid pushing another kid on a swing. And you could just forget any kind of football. Quoting a convinced sixth grader, we just can't do it. People get hurt. Contact, physical contact on the playgrounds of the public schools in Sacramento is now verboten.
And this is a rule just in Sacramento?
Yes. Well, I think it's for that town, it's a good idea.
I don't, because they're going to keep it bottled up and they're going to grow up really pissed and they'll just call here.
Once again, I defer to you. You are correct, sir.
Yeah, it's no good. I'd give them sticks and make them hit each other.
This will make them angrier.
And there's too many fat kids everywhere.
Mm-hmm.
That's true.
Yeah, plus, if you let them hit each other, they're not as fat.
And then they all turn out to be like the kids on the Trading Mommy show. The Trading Spouse, hot fat kids.
Hot fat kids with bad air conditioning.
Hot fat kids, all from area code 916.
Eating grinders.
Let's make them more sedentary. The Christian practice of eating bread or wafers and drinking wine or grape juice is rich with symbolism. The crackers and juice symbolize the body and blood of Jesus. Eating the icons is a way of symbolically taking in Christ and a way of sharing that with others who hope to do the same. That brings us to the Catholic Church, which only allows fellow Catholics to partake, and even some Catholics get excluded.
Hi, I'm one of the excluded ones.
Most recently, the exclusions included politicians.
I don't know that one.
Politicians who are pro-choice are the most recent to be excluded.
Mm-hmm.
Now the church is fighting a 7-year-old New Jersey girl over communion, and all because she's medically unable to eat wheat products. She's gluten intolerant.
Mm-hmm. Listen, as a former Catholic,
same here,
kicked out for getting divorced.
Same here.
Let me just say, the hell with that girl. Kick her ass out.
Yeah.
Let her learn early what the Catholic religion is really all about.
You got a point there.
Honey, it's a tough road.
Yeah, it's tough love.
And I want to tell you something. Unless you're really, really... Unless you're going to be Mother Teresa, forget it. Get yourself over to Catholic Light. Get yourself into some Episcopalian church. You're going to have a lot less guilt.
Sure.
You don't want those goddamn, pun intended, CCD classes. And if there's not a more ridiculous concept, when you're a child, when you go to confession and you tell the father, the priest, all of the bad things that you've done,
right.
And he says something like, say four prayers.
Mm-hmm.
If there's not a more back-ass way of getting a religion...
Well, we all used to do it because we thought that we'd have that lightning bolt come down and turn us to vapor.
And
also, like, with the communion thing.
Yeah, right.
And I think it might still affect me. I don't think I've... You know, it's not like I'm going to go in and cheat. You know, hey, this is tasty.
No, it's all part of the Catholic guilt.
Yes, Catholic guilt, we all live with it.
It's good for that little girl right now.
Well, there is a reasonable middle ground. They make now a wheat-free communion wafer, but church officials in New York say that's not good enough.
You know what I like with mine?
What?
I like some nice cheddar on mine.
You ever wonder how many times... when they did that community thing with the chalice, you know?
Oh, yeah.
And you come in like in mid-February to the service. And you hear everybody going, you know, that little cloth that wipes it off, not good enough.
Mike, that's a problem even in an Episcopal church.
Yes.
And I know that as well.
Any church.
When you're up there and they want to, and why is it they always want to insist on pouring it into your mouth?
You can't
just take the glass and take a swig.
Use one of those things like the gauchos use, you know? That thing.
I know what you mean. That big thing with
like
the...
Like it's a bladder.
It's called a wine skin.
A wine bladder, and squirt it in there so there's no lip contact.
If you do that, you wouldn't even have to come up to the altar.
Yeah, I'd probably steal it.
In sports, an Olympic hockey coach says after Athens, he will never coach women again. The coach of the Korean women's hockey team has reason to be frustrated. His team didn't even make the semifinals.
Wait, hockey? You mean field hockey?
Yes.
Okay.
Unbelievable.
But he says because they are women, quoting him, how can I train them? I can't get inside their heads.
What country is this, Buzz?
Korea.
Oh my darling, even though I know you're not from there, you look like you might be. Oh my darling, Clementine.
Thank you much, Lee, for the nice cake. Oh my darling, Clementine.
Hey, Rary, do you know Clementine?
Yes.
Do you think she's from... Where is it?
Korea.
Korea? You think she's from Korea?
Nope.
Oh,
he's right.
He's smart.
Larry.
The Korean coach says after coaching these women, he may go into fitness training or psychology.
Mm-hmm.
And finally, when Sok Mao of Cambodia was pregnant, she dreamed that an old man brought her a baby monkey and told her that it would give her good luck when the monkey grew up. Imagine her surprise when Sok Mao gave birth to a healthy baby girl.
Oh, my darling, Sok Mao.
Born with a tail.
She gave birth to somebody with a tail?
The baby was born with a tail.
Oh, no.
The tail is now nearly 5 inches long. Some families might have a doctor remove it discreetly. But Sok Mao's family is especially poor, so they did the next best thing.
What?
They started charging admission for people to see the tail. Hundreds of people have come from miles around to see the baby with the tail for about 75 cents a peek.
Oh, Sok Mao.
I'm Buzz Burbank on the Don and Mike Show.
Sorry, no.
No.
Yep.
Good night. That's it.
You gotta go.
Sure. Show's over.
Probably yes.
Yep, gotta go.
This is
Larry. Let's see. Coming up next, Larry, you know who's next?
Yes.
It's Ron and Fez.
You know, I often ponder this. What is too much?
Well, I don't think it's too much. They're on for 4 hours. They'll be on after us on WJFK Live 105 and The Buzz in Tampa Bay. What is that you, Buzz?
That was my burp, yes.
Buzz burp. You just burped?
Just a little one, yeah.
No problem.
No, but I'd join in.
Larry, Ron and Fez coming up. Next. What is it that Fez Watley loves most of all?
Oh, boy.
That's
what
God. That's a good day to you, sir.
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 Good day to you, sir. What's the reason Fez Watley originally had to leave Tampa Bay so many years ago?
Oh, boy.
That's the lead-in right there, boy.
That's what I thought.
Oh, boy.
Stay listening.
See you tomorrow with the new episode. And you...
Want to see my tail?
Clean your plate.
Eat a lot.
Till we meet again. Sammy Davis Jr. saying, be kind, be nice, and I hope the next performer has the pleasure of having as nice an audience as you've been tonight. And let me leave you swinging.
This is the Don and Mike Show.
WJFK. Too busy to meet new friends? The WJFK Dateline can change your life. Log on to WJFK.matchlink.com.
Everyone.